Our name is the RRR Podcast. 5 years ago, we made it our mission to bring you the latest toku news in the craziest way possible. But after a plague of boring tokusatsu struck, it was up to us to save our podcast. To do this, we had to do something else. We had to discuss something else. Welcome to RRR Season 6, Episode 21.
Drive-by!
You'll get it in the spelling. Like, it's like, you know, waving by. There you go. Yep, that's it. The show's over, folks. We end it here.
You're an idiot.
Yeah. So
I'm so sexy.
I'm so tired. But anyway, that the insanity portion will click in at some point relatively soon, maybe.
Wow. Yeah, that's when Brian just starts laughing uncontrollably, no matter what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Kind of like earlier. It already started, so it's seeping through.
You mean when I got traded the Plusle?
Yes. Like it was just out of nowhere.
Well, why do you have a Plusle?
Well, I'm on Wonder Trade, and I'm just, like, sending out shit, and I sent away a Minun, and I got a Plusle in return. It was pretty legit.
Too legit to quit.
I just got a Flabébé named Play Roblox. It just makes me think of Cubix.
That's robots for everyone. They're the only robots that didn't discriminate. Transformers always try to disguise themselves because they're racist.
Cubix is a real pioneer.
They really are. Why isn't that getting a gritty reboot? Cubix, robots for no one.
I am so sexy.
Right. So, one-ups. I bought a lot of Legos.
You'll burn in hell.
Legos for everyone.
I want Cubix Legos. That would be amazing. But anyway, so I got the Lego Dimensions starter set, all three level packs, the two team packs, and three of the fun packs, and that's...
I will find your family.
That's all I'm getting until Christmas, because I need to fluff my Christmas list with Legos, so...
Give me my fucking bird.
Here's your bird. I have your bird.
I ate it for dinner.
I am the bird.
I'm Bear Grylls, and I hate bird. It's cool to eat raw, because I'm Bear Grylls, and I don't give a fuck. I just grab birds and bite their heads off. That's pretty much Bear Grylls in a nutshell. I can't wait for the episode where he has President Obama on there. I can't wait. Like, it's going to be amazing. Just kill the rhino and eat its head. What? God damn it, Bear Grylls.
I think that's it. Oh, I found Puzzler today.
Oh, I found him weeks ago.
Did you leave your friends behind to save him?
Yeah.
That's how you should have done it. But early, like, he's doing it wrong.
I went to Toys R Us to go buy more Legos, and they had him and only him. Oh, like, my God. They had restocked with, like, the Dino Drives and stuff not too long ago. And so I was like, oh, hey, they actually got new stuff, and they had no villains. I'm like, well, fuck this shit. And so now they put one villain out. And I'm sure they had more in the back, but when you ask anyone in that store, they're like, everything we have is out.
I hate that shit, and that's what I always get.
I never ask anyone because I'm terrified.
Yeah, exactly.
If they ask me, can I help you, I have to leave the store now. I'm like, well, now you can't, now I have to leave. Thanks. Because you spoke to me, now I'm upset.
That's why, you know, when I go to a store, I try to keep, like, a very sharp lookout for employees and avoid them at all contact. It's like when you're trying to, like, avoid a Pokemon battle because you're down to, like, your last guy.
That's pretty much what it is. And they're, like, required to ask you that you need help, like, even if they just saw someone else ask you. It's kind of like how the people at Chick-fil-A have to say, my pleasure, like they're from some sort of cult. Like,
like,
Like, so, I feel like Chick-fil-A people are holding up a newspaper sign that just says "Help me" all the time. But, like, I want to eat. Can you just hand the food over? Damn it! You put ice in the lemonade. Send it back. I send it back. I want lemonade.
I got some lemonade for you.
Is it urine?
Maybe.
Obvious urine is obvious.
Phyllis, we all came into this room and we gave you a golden shower. Where's my golden shower? The Roy references Muse. Are on point tonight.
Your golden shower was given to the Roid Mutes instead to make them super mega evolve.
Not enough Donna Noble.
If you like, there's something else I got, and I can't. Oh, I got those Bionicle DVDs I bought the
other day. Oh, yeah!
Donna Meagle. I'm talking to this asshole over here, and because we were celebrating about the new Bionicles looking really cool, and then the whole Netflix thing.
Oh my god.
And we're like, oh, the DVDs. I'm like, no, I want to watch the DVDs. And like, the DVDs aren't on Netflix except the fourth shitty one. And I'm like, well, that will have to change. And I went on to eBay and I found like each DVD for like $3. So I bought all four of them. So those are here. This is what happens when I talk to people. I talk to people and then...
Brian talks to too many people.
I get roped into buying four Bionicle DVDs off of eBay.
Well, you should avoid talking to people, Brian. That's the solution.
But I love George.
I mean, why do you think I avoid talking to you most days? I would end up buying things.
You text me almost every day. Anyway, I think that's all for me. If something else happens, I'll just interject rudely.
No, that's my shtick. God.
This original trainer's name was Dick Breath.
Kevin?
I don't have Dick Breath.
You denied it, supplied it. Classic
the
burn.
The Dick Breath?
Straight out of the playground. Hashtag classic jammed.
Straight out of Compton.
Okay. My turn? Thank you. Alright, I got a story this week, so everybody settle in. Okay, Aerosol, you can take a break right now. Okay, first of all, number one priority, I finished The Vampire Diaries, and I'm simultaneously happy and upset. I'm upset because I don't have any more to watch.
Oh,
like,
fuck.
What?
What?
I did two things.
You watched it too?
No.
I'm just going to start talking about Caroline.
I finished Last of Us.
Oh, yeah. Where did that come from?
I was looking for something to play.
But wasn't it amazing, though?
And,
for real.
Oh, it was.
Best game I ever played. Like, seriously.
That was a beautiful fucking game. Like, start to finish, beautiful fucking game. Like, both visually and just in terms of the story
like,
and everything.
The storyline and, like, the gameplay, like, it was so intense. And I love how, like, just you got so into it instinctually. And, God, it's such a good game.
So that happened, and I finished the first season of iZombie, finally. So I'm all prepped for season two.
Now we're all caught up first.
So now I get to go back to watching The Walking Dead. So my whole life is just zombies at the moment. Like, I was simultaneously watching Walking Dead, watching iZombie, and playing The Last of Us. So my world
those are more like fungus people. God, the sound of clickers still haunts me. It's like, oh, son of a bitch.
I have a cock.
I hate it when they were, like, present, but they weren't near you, so there was just loud clicking noises, and you couldn't do jack shit about it.
And it would just make you nervous, because they're, like, genuinely harder to kill. Oh, man.
And to make sure you had those shivs on you.
Yeah, it's like prison. Get shivved in the joint.
Genuinely hard. Oh.
So now we're ready to have our show officially sponsored by the CW in a few weeks. Or unofficially.
Besides Jane the Virgin.
And Rain.
We don't like virgins here.
Well, when why the hell am I here?
You just kind of
you don't count.
Okay, now back to my stories. Okay, so I finished Vampire Diaries, and season 6 was like amazing. It was so good, and I liked that Elena was essentially like almost a secondary character for that whole season. And humanity free Caroline was awesome. I like that if they hadn't messed with her, she would have essentially almost been the same. I think that's kind of funny. And I like how she even called out Elena on just being so self-involved. She's like, you're even making this about you? And just
everything's about you, you whore.
Unfortunately, poor Alaric. Gretchen got killed. But is he going to be in this season? In 7?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good. Because he was like, okay, we'll run away so that the coven doesn't get us. I'm like, no, Alaric has to stay. So like, there was a silver lining to her getting stabbed. But seriously, poor Alaric.
I know. That poor man.
Like, he got it way worse than Elena. The worst that's going to happen to Elena is she's going to have to retake all of her medical school classes. I was just thinking, oh, she can just compel people. I'm like, oh, shit, she can't do that anymore.
Oh.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. La, la, la.
My first instinct whenever anyone gets hurt on TV now is just give them vampire blood. It's the worst thing. But yeah, that was a really good season.
They can't die, just give them a Gilbert ring.
They didn't use that in a while, because Matt's all like, yeah, fake vampires and prejudice now. God damn it, Matt. Wait, is
you
Tyler...
and Matt suck. Fuck you,
please,
Matt.
Please tell me Tyler... Tyler left, because he looked like he was leaving with Jeremy.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm pretty sure we talked about this.
Tyler is the worst. Like, this season... He was just so useless. He spent the whole season trying not to turn into a werewolf again. And he was just so obnoxious.
Like, I haven't found a use for him in, like, I don't know, 3 seasons at least.
Like, he was annoying before, but this season he was just so useless. I'm ready for him to be gone. It's like, you're not even a hybrid anymore.
That's his whole selling point, is being a hybrid, and then, like, oh, well, that's done. You need to leave,
sir. I was
kind
of happy. I was happy when Jeremy left, though, because he was getting pretty annoying, because he was pretty much just kind of a giant whining bummer.
Giant whining boner.
It's like, we don't need you anymore. Damon and Bonnie are BFFs now. That's all we need. Just Damon and Bon Bon. Okay.
That's together.
All the Damon I could ever want, that's what I need. I need to hug and hold Damon close to my heart and lap.
So, okay. So I finished that.
Good morning.
No. So my story. Okay. So I had to.
Oh, that was the story.
No. That was just the beginning. It's only the beginning. Okay. Fuck. This is the story. You know how many stories I had to listen to you going to eat chicken? We get it. It tastes like chicken.
What? Vagina does not taste like chicken.
Well, I guess it depends. Anyway. So
it's not a,
I had
it's not black.
No. You're done. Charles Minor. Okay. So I had to go print something for school, and I was like bound and determined not to go pay for it somewhere. That sounded wrong. So I was like,
you know,
I'll go down to my old campus because they have free printing there. It's where graphic design used to be. And I went down there. It was like completely deserted and dead because everything's being shifted around. There was like a grand total of 3 people there. It was pretty depressing. So I'm like, all right, I'll just go back to the normal campus on the way home and try to find a place to print. And I had a hell of a time just going all over the place trying to find a place to print. And I eventually found out there was actually a library there. Didn't know that.
That's because there are books there, Dawson.
Well, it was just the worst. And I go up there to try to print, and there's like 5 different printers hooked up to all these computers. And I'm still pretty positive that there's at least 2 printers somewhere in that library that have multiple copies of pictures of tongs printed out for this project. I have no idea where. If I finally asked this dude, I'm like, where the fuck does this print? Except I said it more polite. And
that's not fun.
It prints here. And I'm like, oh, but is it printing color? He goes, no, it does not print in color. Like, he was this angry Zimbabwean librarian. And he's very short with me. And he's like, none of these print in color. I'm like, well, then this is of no use to me. I just ripped my USB out and left. And it turns out it didn't need to be in color. So, whatever. But, like, I didn't know why this angry Zimbabwean librarian was there. Maybe he didn't even work there. I don't know. But so the main part of my story comes from when I was on my way down to, well, both campuses, I saw that there was construction coming back. And I was like, all right, all I have to do is just stay in the right lane. I'll be fine on the way home. So I was doing that on the way home. And it looked like they'd opened up the middle lane. So stupidly, I don't know why I decided, oh, I'll just go over the middle lane because it looks fine. It wasn't open. And I got all messed up, and at one point, like, the traffic was so stop and go, and, like, cars were only moving every 7 minutes or something like that. I was stopped in the middle of the intersection, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm going to die. This light's going to turn red, and I'm going to get smashed. So I had no choice. I drove into the construction zone, like, on purpose. I had no choice. Like, I was just smack dab in the middle of the intersection. I kind of waited a minute, kept looking up at the light nervously, and I was like, I have no choice. And I reversed the car and pulled right into the middle of the cones. I had no choice. It was just so hilariously bad because I knew what I had to do from the beginning to stay, like, out of alive. Trouble. And I ended up in the most trouble possible by just driving through the construction zone. And so I had to, like, find two cones that weren't so close together to get back over into the actual driving lane without causing an international incident. It was just – it was
hilarious. Did you die?
So nerve-wracking.
It was. It was terrifying.
Oh, my God. I would have been crying.
It was the worst. But I was better than just getting, like, blindsided by a car in the middle.
Yeah.
So, but that was a thing. And at the time I was like, oh no. But then I was like, this is a story. Yeah, that was.
And I'm
at
glad.
At the time he was like, oh no. But now he's like, oh yes.
And then after all that, I ended up just printing at home. So it was really like not worth the trip at all. Other than the story of getting yelled at by an angry Zimbabwe librarian driving in the middle of a construction zone. Has anybody seen the movie Cellular with Captain America?
No, I have not.
Okay, so this whole bit of the story would fall flat then.
Tell it anyway. Most of your stories fall flat.
Well, it's a movie with Chris Evans is on the phone.
I figured that part out.
That's been kidnapped, and it's on his cell phone, and he needs to stay on the line with her, and his cell phone battery is dying.
Oh, I have seen that.
Yeah, and he's trying to get to the store, and his battery's dying, and he just is like, "Fuck it," and he drives right through a construction zone. Like that's what I felt like during that moment when I had to do that, except with far less stakes. It's a pretty fun movie, and he like holds the cell phone store up at gunpoint to get a charger, and then he pays for it. That's how he became Captain America. Everyone knows that. They watched Cellular and they were like, "This guy's got the chutzpah. He can save America."
He's America.
I am America, and so can you.
So that was
right.
That was my.
I like the paper dolls of the Supreme Court justices. You can dress them up.
All right, that's my stories for this week.
That's your story. Well, fuck off.
That's probably the only thing that's gonna happen to me all year. The year's like not very much longer though, so that's not totally depressing.
I have developed an addiction to Pokemon Shuffle on my phone.
Why did you get it on the 3DS?
Well, because when it came out, I had that issue with like not having a lot of whole space on my memory card.
Oh, okay.
And I just never downloaded it. But then it was like, oh, it's on my phone, so I can take it anywhere. Because I always have my phone. And so now I'm addicted to it. Like, I sit at work and I play it at work. Like two moves at a time just while I'm trying to work. And then I'll just like, oh, someone's coming. Home button.
I remember last week when you made that haha Sean's poor joke?
Mm-hmm.
Someone thinks my name is Sean now. Just had to say that.
Let's see. I got my Mega Rayquaza.
Macamillan. Sit back at you.
I got my Ori Tamashii. Ghost Lyra Icon.
Lance.
I also got Thor, Kivala, and Darth Maul. And my Ghost Rider hero.
Stapler.
Found out my baby really likes Ghost Icons and Ranger Keys. She's been sick, and I had to pry my icons out.
What does she not like?
I don't know. Like, I had to pry them out of her death grip. She wouldn't give them back.
You killed her?
No, like, she had, like, this kung fu grip on them.
I had a SIDS joke there, and I decided to scrap it.
Yeah, let's do that. What else?
Now I know I'm a terrible person. I think it was Cordy that posted something on Facebook where this baby was missing a nose. And they're like, oh, this poor baby. The first thing I thought was, oh my god, it's Voldemort. Like, seriously, that's what it was. Like, how are people not just screaming and running in the streets? Voldemort has been born.
Oh my god.
Well, look at it. It doesn't have a nose. You can't not comment on that. It's like when Rick Medina stabs someone with a sword. You don't not comment on that. His character was famous for his sword. It's like if the guy that played Darth Maul stabs someone with a laser sword. You can't just be like, oh, how tragic. You'd be like,
I'm still 95% sure that it was Uramasa.
Like, I want to know. I want to see the crime scene photo of Uramasa with
Ellie blood. Deckel gave him an Uramasa prop, and he posed with it, like, for 45 pictures on Facebook.
Classic and I was, like, Deckel.
Oh my god, it was the best thing ever. And I know it's Uramasa because he has no other swords on display in his house.
You've been to his house?
Too much about Rick Medina's house.
Well, no, just like based on his Facebook. Oh, god, I'm like everybody else in the fandom.
Oh man. Like, I want to see the crime scene photos. I haven't heard anything about it either.
Yeah, he's probably been sprung.
Turned out the victim was just a mooger.
What'd you call me?
And then, let's see, what did I get anything else? Oh, I got the Tahu, the Bionicle set, so now I've finished all of Wave 1 because I never had picked that one up. I finally got it the other day because I was like, I can't find shit and I want to buy something. I was like, I'll just buy it. Did I get anything else? I don't know. We're still trying to fucking finish Once Upon a Time to catch up. We made... oh, my God. So we went off...
then we can have Once Upon a Ramble Time. Hashtag Dark Swan.
We had forgotten... like, I had forgotten to set the DVR to, like, auto-record Once Upon a Time. And we were, like, out and about. And I'm like... I looked at her and I'm like, you know, we gotta fucking get home so we can set this. She's like, well, what time does it come on? I'm like, comes on at 7. Look at the clock. It's like 6:15. So we, like, hurried up. We got through the store. We, like, raced home. It's, like, 6:55. We, like, make this mad dash, like, leap out the car. I grab the car seat as fast as I can to get Natalie out. We, like, run through the house to, like, set the thing. We're setting it, like, 1 minute as the show is about to start airing. It was, like, it was intense. You had to be there. It was pretty intense, though. We were, like...
we only got 4 minutes to save the world.
You can't set your DVR from your phone?
No. I don't know. I've never tried. I might be able to.
If you miss it, do you not have On Demand? Does Cox not have On Demand?
I do. I have Cox On Demand.
They do.
It's how we've been watching the last few episodes of Young and Hungry and Kevin from Work, because the DVR didn't recognize them as new, and so sure I didn't record them. So I had to,
wailing.
That's Natalie from the other room. She's been sick. The only thing that keeps her calm is Ranger Keys.
This
is truly my child.
That's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard in my life.
She had my Super Mega Force pink key like for a while. The other day, which one was it? Was it one of my pink like Japanese?
It seems like
Ranger
a choking
keys.
Hazard.
I mean, she puts it in her mouth, but I tell her no, and then she starts crying. She just keeps wanting to put Emma in her mouth, which I don't blame her, but which one was it? It was one of these, like, I don't know, Dinah Pink or one of those fucking...
an episode of At Midnight.
Like, old-ass, like, pink Sentais, and she just kept sticking it in her mouth, and she wouldn't let go of it.
At Midnight where they said, give a weird search that would lead to this image, and it was like a baby eating something, and it just said, infant gets mouthful. That was one of the answers, and it cracked me up. When I was like 2 month old, gets mouthful. It was great. Classic At Midnight.
But yeah, and then like I brought her, I had my two icons in the room, and she took them, and I went to go bring her out in the den with me to go so we could eat dinner. And I put her in a playpen, and I went to take them from her, and she tightened her grip. She wouldn't let go. I had to like pry them out of her hands. Like, while distracting her with another toy. I'm like, what is wrong with this child? Why won't she give me my stuff back? I told Cordy she had to teach our child how to share. Give shit back to its rightful owner.
I know, sharing is the first lesson I unlearned.
But, yes, I think that's it. I don't think I got anything else. I pre-ordered more ghost toys today. That happened. Brian overwhelmed me with ghost icons into my text messages.
Well, that's...
I was trying to watch Ninja Turtles. I was watching Ninja Turtles. I was playing Pokemon, and Brian's just spam texting me candy toy and capsule icon sets, and I just couldn't handle it. I think I almost just started, like, having a seizure on the couch.
Darn, I was close.
He was really close to killing me.
That ghost will do it. The actual ghost will find you.
It's my chair.
Chair ghost. It's like Hitbox ghost, but with chairs. It's a really lazy ghost.
It's gotta burn the chair. She's dead. Brian killed her.
Which one?
No, Cat. Not the cats. Maybe the cats killed Cat. I don't know.
Wait, Ferguson?
Oh. Paired Ferguson?
Wait. No, Ferguson the cat.
Black Lives Matter.
Black Cat Lives Matter.
First thing I thought of when I was trending on Twitter was, why is everyone talking about Winston's cat?
Yeah. I wish hyenas. Time travelers think that.
I think it's... Does George have one-ups?
Yes, I do, actually, for once, and it's amazing. Good.
We're going to skip them.
It's basically, I've been watching New Girl and haven't left the house in a week and a half.
That's the dream.
So it sounds like Dawson. You've had a Dawson's life.
That's the life.
That's pretty much what I do. That's pretty much what I do, except for when I drove into that construction zone. I wish Danger Zone was playing on the radio when I did it. I don't remember what was playing on the radio when I did it. I just remember panicking and my heart was going really fast.
You have a heart? Hold on.
Yes, I had it taken out.
Time Lord.
I had both of them taken out.
Oh.
By whoever took out the knaves. I haven't seen the knave of the season. I just realized it's only been one episode, so he really wouldn't appear.
But I got like stuff for my birthday. Like my sister pre-ordered like the Avengers for me and like got me a cool like werewolf that has a flannel on.
Wait, he bought you a werewolf? She just like bought you. I bought you a Scott. He's a pet now.
I bought you Taylor Lautner.
Tyler Posey.
We don't talk about the sparkly werewolves and vampires around here.
he bought you what's your, Tyler? He's on clearance.
Discount werewolf. I've heard
that. I also have 9 bow ties coming in.
Cool.
Addict. My collection's gonna be up to 52 bow ties, and I don't know where I'm gonna keep them all.
Jar.
Dawson,
have you seen my other timepiece?
Dawson, are you pre-ordering Captain Phasma tonight?
Sure. I didn't know it was happening, but I guess I do know. Got to get me a Brienne of Tarth figure art.
How did you not know? It's also the DK Shinka Jose Hill is going up.
I'm just going to call it Renewal instead of Tinky Winky Blah La Po or whatever you just said.
Teletubbies.
Teletubbies were the shit. They're like Power Rangers because they're colors. Remember collecting those ones at McDonald's? Keychains.
What did I do? Oh, I'm a peanut now. Because of the movie.
You're living the life, George.
And
he's living the Vita Loca.
First story contest. And like I won all 4 seasons on Blu-ray.
Wait, nice. What?
What'd you win?
American Horror Story, all of it so far on Blu-ray, and like I died.
Cool.
And it was on my birthday that I won.
He died, and I guess someone found the Dragon Balls and brought him back to life because he's here now. So that's good.
Or Bonnie just whipped up a veil from the other side. It's like, whatever, we've done it before. I don't think the other side even exists anymore. He got trapped in a 1994 prison.
That's my worst nightmare ever in life.
It's still probably better than the whatever 1770 that their mom was trapped in.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But other than that stuff, like, I've been decorating for Halloween a lot. Like, Halloween's like a way of life in my house, and...
I don't like Halloween.
Fuck you!
I don't... No, you know, I always had this problem. First of all, trick-or-treating involves going outside, which I don't like. Second of all, involves going around to strangers, which I don't like. Third, I live in New Orleans. That means Halloween is one of two things. It's either 60 degrees.
But it's the one night the undead take off.
It's 60 degrees and you're cold, or it's 90 degrees and you're sweating your balls off in a Darth Vader costume or whatever the fuck I'm wearing that year. And so I've got this fucking helmet on, I'm in all black, and I'm like, oh my god, I want to die.
Why don't you just wear the Slave Leia outfit?
Because that's not an option. That's what I turn to my parents and I go, can't we just have taken the costume money and gone to the store and bought candy? Then I could get the candy I actually fucking eat instead of whatever shit the neighbors are handing out.
It doesn't taste as good
out.
When it's not free. There's something yep. about free. Like, the
but
freeness
the
makes it
yeah,
taste
but
better.
The neighbors are handing out candy I don't fucking eat.
Well, then you go to different neighbors.
Right? Then on top of it, I go to get a costume, whatever costume I want. Whatever one size is too fucking small and the other size up, next size up is too fucking big. So it doesn't add nothing that actually fits right because I'm fucking weird.
You are weird.
Like, I remember it was one the one year I ended up being the White Ranger. I wanted to be the fucking ninja outfit. None of the outfits fit because if I wore, like, I don't know, a medium or whatever size it was, it looked like it was fucking spandex instead of like the loose baggy ninja outfit. And then if I wore, like, the neck size up, it looked like I was wearing a fucking garbage bag.
That's what you should have worn.
Like,
same thing as
nothing.
Dog.
Yeah.
Just wear a garbage bag, write Toku fan on the front of it, you're done.
Like, nothing ever actually fit properly. So I was like, I hate this shit. I don't want to do this. I want to stay home and just buy candy. Just give me candy. Candy I actually eat, because all I want is fucking Reese's and M&M's and Kit Kats anyway. I don't want fucking chewy candy and things with nuts in it and fuck that shit. I am very particular.
You are a thief of joy.
I don't give a shit. I hate joy. I like the misfortune of others.
Fucking lemony Snickers.
Joy is a bitch. Thank you for bringing your Pokemon to me. Hope I see you again. Well, fuck you.
So how about that news?
There's all actually right. news this week.
So do we want to tackle the elephant in the room first?
The Ranger keys?
Yes.
That's so rude, man. Craig's right here. It's fucked up, man.
I'm going to do it.
Go for
so,
it.
So I got like the best
Ninja
news.
Chargers.
I got the... Anyway, I got the best news ever, which is that, and it was funny because when this was announced, when I first saw that this was put up on Premium Bandai, I was just thinking about
Wailing.
I was just thinking about
creepy horror cat noise in The Grudge.
They said this was coming. When is this going to get announced? And it was that day or the next day this goes up. It's the Ranger Key Set Rainbow Edition. It's the Tokyuger set. So you get Tokyo Ichigo, Nigo, Sango, Yongo, Gogo, Rokugo, and they even give you Nanago, the purple one from the fucking Returns movie. But they don't stop there. They give you every Norikai change. So you get five red keys, five blue, five yellow, five green, and five pink. One for each Tokyuger. That's already 25 fuck keys. Then there's Rokugo. Then there's Tokyo Ichigo Orange from the last episode. Then Nanago. That's the word I had set. 25, 28 fucking keys. Then we get the black Tokyo Ichigo.
Racist.
I'm sorry, African-American Tokyo Ichigo. I'm politically correct around here. I don't want someone to shut our shucking showdown. And then you get homosexual Tokyo Ichigo. Right? I don't want to offend anyone by, you know, like rainbow. Like, when it's you know, the homosexual Tokyo Ichigo here. Now we're up to 30 fuck keys. There's more. You get Tokyo Zero Go in red, blue, yellow, and pink from that one episode. Then from that same episode, you get Tokyo, was it negative 100? I don't know what the number is, but negative 100.
My shirt smells like teriyaki.
We're now up to 35 keys in one set. And they said, you know what?
Chicken wing.
They said we can stuff more into this set. So they gave us Safari keys. They said we can stuff more
delicious
into
flavor.
This huge gaping vagina of Dawson's mother. And they gave me five more Ranger keys. I've got Tokyo Ichigo, Lion, Tokyo Nigo.
Lion? Lion's in the Sith.
Oh, I'm going to be Steven for Halloween.
Tokyo Sango, Wildcat, Tokyo Yongo, Alligator, and Tokyo Gogo Panda. Okay, 40 fuck keys in the set. Comes out March 2016. List price on Premium Bandai, $29,999.
Really fucking 99 cent price. It's $29,998 at Walmart. 2 cents. My grandpa's hammer. What did they think?
It would be fucking Walmart. Like, we have the best prices in town. Buy a penny.
Rollback, 95 cents. Oh my god, I can't even believe it.
When I see the price, it makes me think of like one of those like QVC specials, and like, oh, for under $30, you'll get the price $29.99.
They don't even have Easy Pay.
It's like, well, yes, technically it is under $30, but you're fucking stupid for doing this.
There's the shirt. I found it. Not the teriyaki one, a different one, obviously.
So, of course, I am going to get this key set. For a couple of reasons. One, I have a massive addiction to Ranger keys. I don't know if anyone's noticed that yet.
No way.
I've actually spent the past few days putting like Ranger key numbers onto the Ranger key list because I needed to do something useful with my time and I wanted to track them all. The other reason is that the last time a large set of a gimmick item came out that was an expensive price, I said, you know what?
Shirt on now. Sorry, shirt update.
Thank you, because we didn't want you shirtless. I said, you know, I'm going to skip this. And now I'm lacking a zoo memory and his 98 companions. And I am sad every day of my life for it.
$600.
That doesn't matter, Brian.
It kind of does.
Did you see the zoo memory? Did you see the zoo memory? It was
yeah,
beautiful.
I did. I still want it very much, but that doesn't change the fact that the set was $600.
No zoo.
I'm aware of that, but now can you find it anywhere? Can you find it? No, you can't find it.
I see it on Mandarake like once a month.
Shh.
It's still like $500, but that's not the point. It's there.
$597.
Walmart. I don't want to miss out on these keys. I need these keys in my life right now. They are beautiful. I'm desperate to have them. And then, it also, and I didn't mention, it comes with one of those little sound barrels the Kyoyuger key set came with.
Sound barrels.
Oh, what else would you fucking call it? Let's go. I name things with my penis. What would you call it?
I wouldn't grace this with one of my names. You're making me lose count. Shut up.
He's counting his shirts. He's counting the threads in his shirts. So it makes me wonder if each of these keys will make a unique sound.
She also doesn't care about Blu-ray. Damn it, lost
or how many different numbers are going to be on these keys.
31. Sorry, that was me.
Because these are the things that plague my mind, is the numbering that will be used. I have a real problem.
Yeah, you do.
I'm so excited.
All I really have to say is I called it. Yep. I knew it. I knew they were going to.
So really now I just need to know when they're going to give us Ranger Key Set American with a Titanium Ranger and Spirit Rangers and a Phantom Ranger. And when are we going to get Ranger Key Set and a Ninja?
I would actually buy Ranger Key Set American. I want those spirits.
I'm waiting for Ranger Key Set Jewish Ranger or whatever this next one's called.
Well, hold on.
Cardigan Sentai Schmidt Ranger.
Also up on Premium Bandai is the Bono Driver. Did they put up more stuff about the Bono Driver, Brian?
Bonto?
Yeah, it does about as little as you would expect.
Really, it does it? I couldn't read the Japanese text because I'm not Japanese.
Basically,
or, you know,
tiny. I wrote an article about this. I don't know if it's up yet, but
I can't read your handwriting.
Okay, got it. But basically,
Tokunet does all their things by hand, and they scan it. Loose leaf notebook paper. I've been there.
That'd be amazing. You turn the key, and it does the transformation sound, and that sound of him stealing the weapons. And then anytime you hit the button on the shift brace, it just makes like one of 30 different Bono phrases.
All of which tell you how much he hates his son. They all end with "fuck you, go."
The first phrase is, "I should have gotten a vasectomy." God. Killed George.
One of them is that last spiel about how Ghost shouldn't kill him, and that's beauty. That's
does it have the actual like sounds in it of like "Materoyo," "Iseio," and then Go going "fuck you, Dad"?
I hope it does. I know his part is. I don't know about anything else, but oh, that'd be nice. And then
I love murder sounds.
I love death noises.
Now, does it actually steal other people's drive toys?
What if it stole weapons for real? Like someone holds up a store, "Give me all your money." Ha, got it. Because I'd be like that scene in Paul Blart where I pull it off and then just stay there amazed until I get knocked over. Damn it, now I want to watch Paul Blart and have one page. Thanks, Obama.
Did you ever watch Paul Blart too?
No. I've been busy living that Mystic Falls life.
Okay, by next week's podcast, you need to have watched Paul Blart 2. We're not letting you in the call.
Is that a promise?
He's like, I didn't know it was that easy.
I will replace you with one of your predecessors.
Please, no.
I have that kind of pull on the fandom.
You don't.
I can bring the dead back to life, Dawson.
Cord died?
He might have. I wouldn't be too surprised, honestly. Anyway,
hate mail for this one.
Also today, they decided to put up a replica Helheim fruit.
I saw that.
You can take apart, and inside is like the smaller fruit. And then inside that, you could put candies. It's the best.
I know. I don't know what to do about that, if I should buy it or not. Are you buying it?
Yeah.
All right, I'm buying it.
Kevin is like Dwight to Brian's Michael. Like, it's no joke. Like, if you think about it.
My baby is calling me from the other room.
Brian?
Yes, Brian's my baby.
I need it for my game collection.
Well, then I need it for my game collection, too.
I still have that Gashapon fruit one, and the inner fruit just looks like a little testicle.
That's what I always think.
It does. You put
candy in your testicles.
Oh, Helheim's got you by the balls.
I already have that. I already have candy in my testicles.
Now we just need to hit him like a piñata.
No. No.
Viva Piñata 3. Balls, nuts.
I don't know why, but
these nuts.
My brain went to the scene in Epic Movie where it's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and they're playing Fergie and like knocking people's testicles off and like making candy out of them.
These nuts.
Get him!
Oh god. What is this show?
Let's see, what else? Bandai put up their New York Comic Con exclusives.
Oh, did they?
We have the ever-predictable metallic Tokyo vinyl of the White Ranger.
Now he's got metallics. I want the dreadlocks one, the gangster grill dreadlocks JDO. I'd buy it.
Jay Funny!
Oh my god. I might actually would have bought that too. Not gonna lie. And so that there's that, and
you're giving them ideas.
They're re-releasing the Legacy Morpher.
They're pretending it's
Ninja Coins.
If they put Ninja Coins in there, I would have went after it. I would have.
But are we gonna get the Frank Family Ranger key set yet? Are they putting that up?
Not yet. We're close.
Frank
I can
Family
smell it.
Coin.
Frank Family Power Coins.
It's my wife's titties on a coin.
JDF sounds like Big Mama.
Like
the loft just became Big Mama's house. That's another good episode. Charmaine. Charmaine.
I went to school with a girl called Charmaine.
Let me guess what color she was. Blue.
Yeah, nailed it. That was the color she turned when someone choked her.
Oh, God. This took a turn.
She what told happened? Me she liked it. I'm sorry.
More importantly, I guess, is our second round of MMPR chargers, because that's what we need. But these are movie-themed.
Motherfucker. So
they're silver. The little logo on the sides are all of their ninja animals.
Where is there a picture? Where's our picture?
Bandai.com/NYCC2015, I think.
Hold on. Just search
ninja batteries. See what happens.
.com/NYCC what now?
2015?
CCT.
2000. Like, do I have to write out 2000?
www.creedslots/www.creedslots.
Okay. Do I hit enter?
Yes.
Escape.
All right. I'm just checking. All right. It's loading. There's a Tokyo vinyl of Tommy. Oh, motherfucker. Look at that. Motherfucker, that's...
We also forgot Rymon.
You fucking cocksuckers.
He's the best exclusive.
Everybody loves Rymon.
Ooh, Pac-Man Connect and Play, 35th anniversary card and coin.
Hell yeah. That's it. That's what I need. I need the...
Power, and then oh my god, look, there's a fucking Ninja Mega Falcon Zord charger only at fucking Toys R Us, because fuck
only
my
at Toys
dick.
R Us October 9th through October 31st if you spend $20
and I'll
or
never
more
be able to find it,
really, because I still didn't get the first fucking one.
I'll just send one to you.
Why do you have six of them?
New
got,
girl is the biggest word on this piece
three.
Of paper, and it's
I don't got six, I've got three.
It sounded like you had six. I heard I'm
I've
Brian
got
Daddy
one
and I
opened.
Have six of them.
That's in my box with the chargers, and then I got two sealed that are just sitting here. I will send you one.
Break my heart. Say you love me again.
What does that even have to do with anything?
I don't know.
I just wanted to sing it. It popped into my head.
Oh, okay.
All hell is broke loose, and we've only gotten through 15% of what we need to talk about.
So anyway, that will be at Toys R Us at some point, maybe.
The Magi Ranger trademark got renewed.
Hoping for that Returns movie. Come on, guys, you could do it.
I would love it. It means I get to see the guy who plays Jin one more time for something else. Like, just the longer I can see him, the happier I'll be. I love him. I don't care.
10 out of 10, would lick.
No, and then we can also say if 10 years has turned Makito into the Leo Zodiarts.
Hashtag it has. So yeah, that happened. I'm really hoping for a 10 years after or something, because I really like Magiranger a lot.
Too, and I love Magiranger so much.
Yeah.
I love
Decarangers is good first, because Hurricanegers wasn't.
So Hurricanegers was horrible.
So let's hope Decarangers is good. And then, although, you know what? If they do any neat little, like, different suit things or something, that would be cool to see. But I hope that they make them better than they did with Hurricanegers, if they keep doing them.
Yeah.
They're going to do Ninja Returns next, and they haven't even left yet. The worst nightmare.
I hope you get butt-fucked by, like, a just giant, massive donkey boner.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, you shouldn't suggest a Ninja Returns, so...
Is there anything left before we get to the juice?
It rhymes with
the movie?
What?
Chase the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Chase the movie.
Oh, my God.
Boner time.
I'm so excited. Like, I saw that.
And you get to buy a brake gunner again. How exciting is that?
You get to break your body for $100.
Now you can dual wield it, just like with the skull magnum and the trigger magnum.
I can already do that with the looping gunner, but now I'll have two brake gunners. And
looping
be...
doesn't even count. He's the second one, not even the third one.
Do I have to get a brake gunner? Like,
well, you don't have to. You can just buy the DVD, which would be stupid, because there's no subs.
It's not even in English.
Well, wait, why
count.
Are we buying it? I don't understand. I have a brake gunner.
To get,
is
damn it,
Dwight,
to get the viral core.
It's the
what viral? I didn't see a viral core.
special version.
It comes with the Shin Viral Core. I don't.
Shin Megami Tensei Viral Core.
Yes. God damn it. A Viral Core based entirely around the video game franchise.
You don't know what they did.
I don't know what they did.
How did I miss that part? Is there a picture of this Viral Core? Is there a number on it?
It's just a shadow. It's not like revealed.
Is there a number on it? That's what I need to know. Does it have a number? Because
it's gonna have a number on it.
The next special card did not have a number, Brian. There was not the promised number on it. I mean, even the key had a number, but next special didn't have a number. How do you not give it a number?
They probably couldn't decide if they wanted to give it one number or two numbers, so they just decided no numbers.
Well, everything has a number. How the fuck do you not give it a number? What's fucking wrong with these people?
My brain is melting.
God.
That was supposed to be a pat.
It was a very violent pat.
But yes, the special edition comes with a brake gunner that has new sounds. And...
Oh, it's got new sounds. Well, then you didn't say that before.
You could have stopped all of this by just telling him that.
If you had told me it had new sounds 5 minutes ago, I wouldn't have argued with you, and I'd have just gone out and bought the DVD. What the fuck is wrong with you?
New sound with Chase's voice.
Yeah, you get Chase's sexy monotone voice.
What if it came with his driver's license?
Wait.
Oh my god, I would buy it.
I would just use that as my driver's license.
It Chase's voice? Well, why don't I have this now? Give it to me now, because
it doesn't come out until like February or something.
I don't fucking care. Give it to me now.
The next Gaim Gaiden has to come out first.
I do need that lemon.
That still hasn't happened yet.
I need that lemon lock seed. Somebody put a rush on these things. I'm tired of waiting. I hate waiting.
They shouldn't announce things so early.
Right?
Because then you have to sit here and wait.
And then I forget it's coming out, and then it comes out, and I get a surprise bill, and I'm like, wait, what am I paying you for again?
Surprise!
2 Kivalas? God damn it. I still don't know how
2
that
Blue
went.
Blue Rangers?
You had 2 Kivalas?
Yes, and I don't know how. Like, I sold one. Like, cause I was about to go race 40 Kinds of Hell with fucking AmiAmi for selling me 2 Kivalas. Then I remember the last time this happened, they got kind of pissy. Like, because, oh, well, you pre-ordered it. I'm like, no, I fucking didn't. It was some kind of, like, mistake thing that happened with the system.
Aren't you and they didn't not allowed to have 2 Kivalas?
Like... No, it says up to 3 per household.
Oh, okay. It's one of those easier to get ones.
And so, but normally, like they get all pissy with me, and they're like, I don't want it to happen again. Like, well, fuck. Before I go race 40 Kinds of Hell with these assholes, and, like, you know, I don't want to get banned like Matt. So I was like, oh, anybody want an extra Kivala? Because I fucking got one. I don't need it.
Ah.
It only took about 2 minutes for someone to be like, I'll take it. So I just went ahead and paid for it, and... someone's buying it, so... But, yeah. Okay. You know, you go fuck yourself, bitch. I'm the man of the house now.
Choose.
Dotham was literally shitting his pants and breaking shit when he saw this, because he was like,
Spider
fuck Jews. He could not handle it.
I really hope it's romanized with a Z. Because,
yep.
One, it would be easier on my brain, and two, people get really pissy when they romanize things with Z's, so it makes me happy.
And God, I can get a zoo for an animal season.
What? I can't hear you. You're so far away.
I said then I could hear people say zoo for an animal season.
Yeah, like, I almost want to think that's part of it. I don't think it is, but
I love,
like,
the fact
I mentally want to think that, like, it's zoo is part of it because it's animals.
All these
I love it that we're going
crackers
with Gobotsu
pronounce it wrong
Sentai.
Anyway.
What?
Like, I love that we're going with Dobutsu Sentai, like, because, you know, the Gobustus thing wasn't enough. We're just going to actually use it for real.
Yes, Dobutsu Sentai is being used again. I got really offended. Because this is GoBuster's turf.
Yep.
And I'm entirely stoked for animals again.
I love FYI. Animal season.
I'm super stoked. And I have my usual kind of like sticking point is that I really hope that if, you know, we're getting animal mecha, that their mouths move. Like, I can open and close them. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I have weird OCD things. But I like when if I have like an animal robot, I can open and close its mouth.
Most of the mecha can. So.
Yeah, I mean, not all of them. There have been some that I can't, and then it just aggravates me.
As long as Red's not a lion. In fact, I could go for a lion not being in here at all, really, but.
I could go for the lion and tiger not being in here. I'm fucking sick.
I want a grizzly bear. I want a deer. I want my forest animals.
At first, I thought you were just going all bears.
I like bears.
Dobutsu Sentai Bear Ranger.
Dobutsu Sentai Bear Bears. And like.
Starring Aisha.
It's time to boogie with the bear.
So we know nothing about that other than the name, but I mean, obviously, given the name, it's obviously animals, so it's not like some vague thing what we have to speculate on. It's clear cut what it's going to be.
Like Ghostbusters, what the fuck is that about?
It's a matter of what the animals are being mixed with, like what our secondary theme is.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to get animal cars again? Are we going to get just straight up animals? Or are we gonna...
The fact that it's like Dobutsu and Jio means like Beast King or something.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's probably going to be straight up animals.
That'd be nice.
Animal Rock Band. I'm calling it right now.
That'd be amazing.
I also wonder
music
about.
Would be great.
I also wonder things like our color scheme and what all the extras are going to be, and I start wondering everything.
More than six Rangers.
Well, so you're hoping for or against more than six?
Like four more than six.
Yeah, yeah. That would be nice.
That's 10.
Brian passed math.
Homophone jammed.
But yeah, I would definitely like more than six. I kind of thought Ninja was going to, and then they were like, "Nope." Joke's on you, motherfucker.
Yeah, I thought the girl in purple was gonna be one.
The girl in purple, and then they had Ryuji in there just dicking around in a little black outfit.
I miss Gorisaki.
I do too.
I miss Go Buster.
I do too. What was I? I was doing something and it made me think of Go Busters and I got sad. I think it might have been when I was looking at Ranger Keys or something like that. Like fooling with the. I was fooling with my Ranger Keys doing the numbers. And then when I was looking at the upcoming set with like the Dobutsu Sentai. And then I just was thinking about Go Busters and I got sad. Like, I miss them so much.
You can post your Ranger Keys of them together?
I can. Oh, and then I saw those customs of the Dobutsu figure arts of the Dobutsu Sentai and of like people, someone that made the powered customs, and I got really sad because no one ever made them.
Oh my god!
Caller mode. Oh yeah.
Don't ask why that was still sitting on my desk. I was playing with it the other day.
Oh, that's the spot, Brian. Do it again. Oh, yeah.
That Usagi gets you going.
This isn't weird at all.
I think that's it for the news. I think.
Josh is going to listen back to this.
Let me double check my notes.
There were scans that came out. You were talking about scans.
Scans are stupid.
Where it looks like Spectre has a dildo attacking his face.
I would love to see a dildo attack Spectre's face. You didn't see that, Brian?
I've seen the scans. I don't remember.
I've got to put it in the chat. Give me a second.
I don't remember Spectre getting attacked by a dildo.
They showed off.
That seems like something I'd remember.
Yeah, the scan showed off Spectre, the Robin Hood outfit. It showed off the iguana. As expected, the Robin Hood icon is number 3.
But that stuff I've already seen before. Why are we wasting time?
Because Georgia's going to show us a picture of Spectre with his dildo.
1 minute. I've got to go back like 3 days.
Yeah, so I'm just filling time while he's doing that. Turns out the ninja's mecha shoots them and not actual missiles or something like that. It's fucking weird.
If they explode, will they all die and the season will end?
Hopefully.
That's the dream.
That'd be great. Oh, his finger looks like a penis.
Like, that picture was everywhere on my feed, and I'm like, dildo?
Oh, Spectre, you're gonna be the butt of some jokes. So speaking of butts and jokes, now it's
time. Way to be a Jerry, Ben.
Now it's time for superhero time. Cheers. Kamen Rider Drive. Turn off the engine.
Did that last week.
Yeah.
Now we broke the engine and had hallucinations of the engine.
So, Ninja this week. This guy stole balls out of the inside of the Ninjas. He was a badger.
Stole their balls.
He was a badger, and they kept making a joke because they kept calling him a tanuki.
The only thing that I really want to point out is...
Is that a raccoon and a tanuki? You're not the same thing?
Yeah, that kind of bothered me a little bit because I mentally heard tanuki, and they subbed it as raccoon.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here going, those aren't mutually exclusive. But, so that was one thing, but... Obviously, Nagi was protected by Focus Episode Armor.
Yeah.
So I knew nothing was going to happen to him, but nothing happened to Fuka either. And I'm just sitting here figuring, I don't think they could figure out what was special about Fuka, so they just decided not to let her get attacked because they couldn't explain anything.
They could have just gone for her name, like, since it's Fuka. They could have just been like, who am I? Fuck. What's my name? I don't know.
She's generic. She had nothing to sacrifice.
I liked how... Star Ninja just couldn't speak English or Japanese. Like,
oh my god.
It's like, I can't speak Japanese. Yeah, you can't speak English either. What the fuck?
Star Ninja was Dawson's worst nightmare in this episode.
They actually swole his tongue up, too.
It sounded like it. It was awful.
I was like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, it was bad.
Oh, no. I cannot speak the Japanese. My name is Jeff.
My name is Jeff.
It's kind of what he sounded like, too.
Yep.
And then at the very end, Kiwamon made her robot.
Kiwamon used his the powers robot, of...
her, I don't know anymore. Whatever.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
Used the power of the four ninjas that they've been summoning from scrolls or some nonsense like that, that made little gear... shurikens, and use it to power an Otomonin of his very own.
Premium Bandai.
I thought it was cool. I'm not gonna lie. I liked
Me
it.
Too.
Especially because
how
he then
good
just went off.
Quality the Dark Liner was, I would actually be totally up for
a
robot of this.
And then it went on to just beat the living shit out of the Ninjas. So, again, I'm fine with this.
I'm all for anything that does that.
Right? Like, but yeah. What else? Let's see.
It's really about... It's, oh, I...
We know what actually happened that I thought was funny was that they tried to, like, save Kasumi's whatever because, like, oh, she's fucking smart. But then it went into Takaharu, and then he just became any other Sentai Red.
He became people I enjoy.
Yeah.
Like,
it was great. I'm like, Takaharu, you're amazing. And then he lost it. I'm like, fuck.
Well, back to Mortekita.
Back to Square Run.
But yeah, that happened.
And next week they're on fire.
Next week Grandpa goes and fights.
Oh yeah.
You guys need to settle down.
What's that? Did Brian die again?
muting my mic when I'm dumping these Lego pieces out because I don't want to make a lot of noise.
It would have been funny if you said I'm muting my mic when I'm dumping.
Right?
Well, I would, out of courtesy, I mean.
Rumbled out!
Okay, I got the remainder of Project Podcast dumped out, so... Let's build the...
You're building a podcast Lego set? Let's
build the Mask Creator and Skull something.
Boilder.
Skull, yes. Like a motorcycle. Vroom, skull vroom, motherfuckers.
Grinder? Is that it? Skull Grinder?
Is Skull Grinder in this one? I think so.
Breaking
Skull
news.
Grinder. Good call.
Proud yeah. Family standing. Proud Family. No.
I wasn't big on Proud Family.
They'll push your buttons.
Yeah, I didn't like it either. They were black.
I love the Proud Family.
Like, what are they proud of?
Oh, here's my knife. I ripped open that box for no reason. Now I'm upset.
I'm proud of eating chicken and watermelon.
So anyway, speaking of being upset, Drive?
So, Shinosuke had hallucinations of belts on the entire episode.
Got attacked by a high-pitched orange sperm.
He was taking drugs so that he could see Damon. I mean, Belt. And then he had a lark compel away the memories. And then later she was like, I remember all the episodes. Sorry.
Even the silence joke?
I think that they only did a flashback just so they could have Chase in the finale.
Pretty much.
And I'm fine with that.
Oh, yeah. Like, I saw that in the preview, and I'm like, is everyone coming back, or what?
Like, how the fuck are they doing this?
It was
a flashback.
Just a flashback. I was
Chase is, or what's his name? Not Chase, the other one with the white.
Yeah. Mach.
He's Maha. Busy being road buddies with Edgy and Merrick. They're going to do a Three's Company reboot.
He's busy getting...
Follow the wind.
But it's about being in the woods with Bear Grylls.
He's busy getting the cockney sandwich.
And Obama.
Obama's getting the cock meat sandwich.
Yeah. So, like, okay. Poor Obama. Okay. So, I liked the whole bit about, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. About, like, him learning to move on, essentially, past being Drive. And basically learning to be a cop again without Belt. I thought that was kind of a neat aspect for his final episode. But everything else involving Ghost, I thought was pointless and stupid. Yeah. Promotion for a show that's gonna be on next week.
Yeah, like if there was a gap, I would kind of understand it. But like, there's not. Ghost is airing in like 3 days.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I liked the way he looked and everything, but it just seemed pointless for him to be there.
Like, I think they only did it with Gaim in the wizard thing because it was the 15th anniversary thing or whatever, or the 5 year or whatever. So I think that was the only reason they did it there, but. Like, everything about that felt pointless and shoehorned in. And I would have been fine with either Drive ending last week or just had this episode essentially be about Shinosuke. And, like, I like the fact that he didn't transform in the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was neat.
And then at the end we got the little, like, what goes on to happen to Kiriko and Shinosuke afterwards.
Kiriko has kids. It's so sexist. Women having kids? I mean, come on. What's next?
And they name their baby after another Kamen Rider that's offensive.
God, everything's offensive. Protesting this entire event.
I just like that she takes Krim's advice and gives it to his boy. Like we discussed last.
You gotta fuck my boy.
Krim's the ultimate wingman. Everyone knows this.
Look at him. He looks like a wingman.
Flame, like, wingman.
I didn't mind the episode a whole lot, but it just after like last week and 46, this was so like chill.
Yeah.
And again, like, Ghost was really cool. I like watching Ghost. Mm-hmm. Ghost's action is probably going to be really damn cool. But again, it's going to happen this week. It's not like it was something that was needed or even anticipated.
I want to know how long they're going to do the invisible effect before they decide, you know what, this is too much on the budget.
Is it? How is it a lot of budget to make something
invisible?
Don't
you just have to put that green stuff on? And they're like, look, I can't see you. It's like when they do amputated people.
Coulson?
Like in the butterfly effect when they amputated Ashton Kutcher.
You make fun of amputees, Dawson? Is that what you're doing now? Now you're insulting amputees. God, sure. What is wrong with you?
The what? Only cool amputee is Coulson.
Like, and Cook. He's been and through Huff. Three hands. That's a big deal.
Something is really wrong with Dawson, Brian. I don't understand what makes him so offensive to people.
Well, you're the same person, so you should know.
But it's fun for me.
If Japan wasn't so rigid about their episode structure and everything, it would have been neat to just have a longer finale and sort of merge the actual drive-related epilogue-y bits into last week's into like one super episode.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because it did a good job of sort of bringing his story full circle in terms of his growth.
And it put a nice ending on it, I think.
It's just it was kind of tainted by the Toku weird cross-promotion thing.
Tainted by the Toku is the title of my autobiography.
I think that's the autobiography of the entire podcast.
Pretty much.
Now, is anyone here hoping that little floaty thing is that obnoxious in the show or not? Because I totally am.
I'm okay with it.
Like, if that's his personality in show, I'm going to really enjoy this.
It's kind of I have a problem with how shitty it looks.
Like, see, I don't. I love how shitty it looks.
The worst.
Like, that's part of what makes it so cool for me. Like, look how shitty this thing looks.
Like, the plant thing from Magiranger looked better. Whatever its name was.
Move.
It's moved. It's like its face moved and stuff.
Well, I know, but Mandrake, I mean, like, it didn't have to, like, be mobile.
Oh, God. It attacked George. He was attacked.
I fell off my bed.
Oh, Jesus.
Again.
Damn, he got attacked by some idiot
it
in the
like
project.
A classic sitcom character would have. I fell off my bed again. Oh, you! And then
I
it just cuts
off again.
This ship was a model as big as this.
Quick, Brian, get him!
What are you doing?
Masturbating.
I don't got a whole lot else to say about the episode.
I mean, there's not much really else to.
I was thinking, instead of doing a, since we have a lot to cover, instead of doing a like section by section wrap up for Drive, should we just do like an overall thoughts?
Well, we'll kick it off.
Me?
Yeah.
It was a good episode. I liked it. No. Okay, Drive. I was pleased with the way Drive turned out. It's like when it first started, I liked it, and then it kind of, you know, we all know that the first half kind of struggled a little bit, and it was kind of hit or miss, very repetitive with the chase stuff. The procedural stuff kind of got old, but it really did, like, as we pretty much mentioned almost every week for like 15 weeks, but it really turned around in its second half, and it leaves a better lasting memory of everything. And I think it was a very solid series. I liked it a lot. In the end, I liked the suits. We didn't use the tire changes nearly often enough for like how much the toys were promoted and stuff. Probably why the toy sales didn't do so good. Kids are like, what do these do? But I thought in particular in the second half, what made it so good is that it was pretty unpredictable. Like, you know, other than reading spoilers, I really wasn't sure where they were going next when they'd wrap up arcs, because, you know, I thought that the 001 was going to go on for almost the rest, whole rest of the arc, or just a little bit longer. And then we moved on to the stuff with like the dad and his dad's murder and stuff. And
then you find out that 001 is not like the main villain, like you kind of are led to believe.
Yeah, so like it really took a lot of turns. Like I wasn't sure where it was going to go next, which was neat. And then like in the second half in particular, I thought they did a great job of making the Roy Mutes feel like characters, and they really like hammered that point home even in the finale. Like that it ended up being humanity that was kind of the greatest evil, which was a really good twist, and I thought tied in kind of well with Mach's prejudice against Roy Mutes, to sort of have that being flipped on its head. As far as characters go, I liked Tamari. He probably wasn't one of my all-time favorites, but I really did like him, and I liked the whole concept of a cop being a writer. And I don't think it was as notable of growth as, like, Coda of last year, but there definitely was a notable growth from the beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. And we already talked a lot about Kiriko, so I really don't need to touch upon her anymore other than what we said previously.
I want to touch upon her.
Everyone loves Chase. I loved Chase, even if his storyline was repetitive. All of his stuff was badass. I liked his storyline. I loved what he became after he turned good. Like, he didn't monopolize too much time, but he kind of ended up being, you know, memorable and kind of funny and just a pretty good character. And the police force people were kind of obnoxious a lot of the time in the first half, but they kind of they had their obnoxious cutaway moments in the second half, but they became much more useful once they were let in on it. And then you got Mach. We talked a lot about Mach, and I think that it's funny because as obnoxious as he was, I still think he fit better than people like Beast, who felt a little more shoehorned in, even though I like Beast better as a character. I think that Mach really suffered from that awkward introduction time, and his introduction episode, he was the most obnoxious he ever was, and like he slowly got toned down. It was really weird. Like, tonally, he was all over the place.
Like, here's my thoughts on Go. I feel like the way he was always supposed to be how he was meant to be. Oh, that was an awful grammatical.
The way he was meant to be. It sounded so inspirational, like generic inspirational, like greeting card.
It should be on a poster in a classroom.
Like, you said, like, a kid when they graduate.
I'm dying.
Please.
He was anyway, always.
Like, was so good. When he got really toned down and more serious, like it felt like a sudden shift. But I feel like he was always meant to be that sort of character, and what they wanted to do was, when he was brought in, he was trying to masquerade his.
Masquerade.
Hatred toward the Roidmudes by being this, like, wacky clown, almost. And I appreciate that. It's the fact that I feel like it was written really sloppy.
Yeah, it wasn't well handled, because it seemed like he was brought in as more of a comedic, like, classic Toku obnoxious character, and then he started to get story, but... And then his motivations were always super... Like, you could sort of understand him, but he was always really close-minded, so he was kind of a really frustrating character to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate, because his suit's, like, one of my favorites ever. Like, I just love it. Which seems weird, because it's all simple. It's supposed to be, like, Showa-inspired or whatever, but I don't care.
Well, you know, my thing with Drive is it's like a tale of two shows. You have the first half of the show, where it's like, they didn't know where they were going. It's so repetitive and so predictable.
Where they're like, going, they needed a map. They needed
like you knew. Okay, Chase is gonna fucking show up. We're gonna go over this whole. You used to save people. You were Proto Zero and Drive or whatever. And then the second half of the show. And of course, you'd always have those cutaway gags. You had the people at the police station just being generally obnoxious and of no value or use to humanity whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, okay, finally they get to where Chase is going to not be Mission Chaser anymore. He's going to be Kamen Rider Chaser. And the whole thing shifts. The police force is let in on, okay, hey, Tamari is Drive. The chief knew about it the whole time. This, you know, Go is Mach. And Roidmudes and all that stuff going on. And, you know, secret base. And then all they change. Chaser changes. And then the show just becomes completely unpredictable, and you really don't know what's going to happen from week to week, and it's only a much better show.
I think the thing with Drive is going to be funny is when I'm going to look back on it even now, but I can see even further down the road, is that it's going to be, I think, one of the most tonally weird journeys, like not even just from the first to second half focus, but just in terms of within an episode. Like, tonally, how it would shift from dramatics to, like, light comedy to, like, super weird comedy. And I think I'm always going to remember Mach's debut for, like, completely going balls nuts with, like, yeah. Picking up the, like, evidence, like, flashbacks and stuff. Like, tonally, it was just all over the place. It fixed it up a bit later, but
still. The stage and, like,
like confetti.
Amazing
and, like,
Circus just shows up and, like, you know, spray shit everywhere, and then he transforms and is all like, she's very showy, and then that kind of stopped after like two episodes. They were like, yeah, we don't have a confetti budget. We just don't.
Confetti must be cheap, though.
Yeah, but they couldn't afford it.
It was just like, too much for them.
They just go to the glitter factory for the budget.
But it's not just the confetti. You got to figure there's the cleanup after the fact and getting it ready to shoot it. It's just too much effort for them. That was so stupid.
I've been to a dirty place.
But yeah, I mean, and then they did a lot of, not in that first half, is when they did all the tire co-cons and they kept changing things and using different abilities, and then once he wasn't fighting Chaser anymore, it was like, shift car, what ability? Just go type formula, it's fine, just do that, and then type Trideron.
Like once in a blue moon he would like use Midnight Shadow or something. I think he used Road Winner toward the end of the show randomly.
Yeah, he just didn't see it anymore. It's like they didn't exist. It's kind of the same problem you had with, you know, some of the previous shows, you know, Forze and whatnot, is that you'd have all these abilities, but then they'd use them a little bit, and after they debuted them all, it was like, okay, not so much. Like, I think, you know, he used Max Flare a lot comparatively, and then that was about it. Like, each, you know, Wild, he used Max Flare, Rumble Dump. And, you know, there's a couple of them he was using constantly. And then beyond that, the rest of them may as well have just been like a one-off thing to sell a car.
Yeah. Wizard, Forze, they all had the same exact problem, like you said.
Yeah, like, oh, Smell Ring and Sleep Ring. And we only used them in one episode. That's... It was a one-off thing to beat a monster of the week, and then we made a toy for it so we could make money. But I did love the shift cars. They were so much fun. And I love that, like, in a lot of ways they had personality, and some of them had, like, little characters and stories. And
I missed the ones that had personality. Like, that was a thing at the beginning.
That was one of the things I missed about the beginning towards the end, but then I guess there's no way to fit it in with all the shit that was happening. Like, they couldn't reconcile the two halves of the show together because it just doesn't fit. Like, the beginning was all campy and funny. Like, the chief with his little, like, horoscope thing on his flip phone and,
Flip phones? The poor time traveler.
What is it, Oto or whatever, was like, you know, with his, like, this is fucking stupid. This shit's not real.
Is that the guy from
Tokyuger? No. Tokyuger was the little nerd guy.
That was cute.
I don't know anybody's name. That's from
the nerd dude just like sitting at the computer all the time. Like, you know, well, I guess he's always looking at the computer, so that didn't change. But, and then Rena just like there, like, I'm a chick in a lab coat. Like, I don't know. It's just so insane to think about what we see at the end and then we saw the beginning. And like, we're sitting here bitching every week, like, God, this show is boring. This show's pissing me off. It's fucking obnoxious. And then these past, like, 7 or 8 weeks, we've been like, oh my god, Drive was so good this week. Like, that shit was amazing, and they had, like, this, you know, this going on, and that going on, and this death, and, like...
Let's not forget, what was his name, Captain Nero, that rubbed his face up against everybody?
Oh my god.
Yeah, he's like the spiritual successor to the Spider-Fangar. Like, I keep waiting for him to go...
Like, it's just insane, the range of... from the dramatic to the comedic that would happen in one episode. Like, one minute they're all serious about, like, you know, we got this the case and people getting killed, and the next minute there's like that dude is rubbing up all over somebody, like, yeah, like, oh god, that, oh, I need to stop right now.
I feel like, oddly enough, for me, like, other than like the chase stuff with like how that dragged out, that was the thing that stands out most to me still in a way. Is Drive's father storyline, just because the importance of his dad came up so suddenly.
Yeah.
Like, it made for more enjoyable viewing because it gave the series a focus. Like, it was the first focus it got post-Chase. So it was kind of nice. But, like, there was really no mention or any concrete mention in the first half that his dad was even a cop that I remembered.
We didn't even know he had a dad.
Like, we thought he was just Jesus, Immaculate Conception.
He's like Anakin Skywalker.
But, like, you know, the Sith made him, so no. But I don't know, that was one of the weirder moments, mainly because it was so out of left field, and it's kind of a more generic story. Like, it was more enjoyable, but I think that the following arcs, like with Go's dad, was a lot more interesting with Bono and everything, and
but Bono, yeah, that was just kind of weird. Bono was like the sickest of fucks, and it was beautiful.
Especially since he was human. I mean, he was like digital human, but still, like, he started as human, and that's just, it's like disturbing. And, like, there was, like, no redeeming qualities, like, not even, like, a hint of it. Like, he, like, unapologetically, like, regretted having his children, calling them, like, his greatest failure out of all of his experiments. Yeah. I feel like he's, like, a really evil Sheldon. Like, he just...
Oh, that's funny.
Josh's turtle?
What?
In drinking Josh... Josh.
Oh, I got it. Sheldon.
Sheldon.
Okay. It took me a minute. I was thinking, like, okay, there we go.
Yeah. I knew what you were doing, and I just had to, like...
George just had to be a rebel and do something else.
Yeah.
I was like, what's happening now?
I feel like Drive was... I mean, we mentioned a lot how it felt like two different shows, but... I feel like there was always a direction they wanted to go with Drive, but couldn't. Like, exactly, it was, they had their whole, pardon the pun, roadmap planned out for the show, but they're like, you know, this leaves us with about, like, 20-something episodes we still gotta fill.
So they filled it all with Chase.
Okay, well, we got Chase here. He's on the path to become... one of our writers in the future. They're like, okay, well, we'll start setting that up. That'll be interesting. And then they got like a couple episodes in. They're like, you know, we're kind of going a little too fast with this. We need to do something else. Okay, we'll make him pure evil again while we introduce Mock. It'll be fine. And then so they bring in Mock and they have him goof around. And they're like, well, we need to start mellowing out Mock because that wasn't our plan for Mock. Oh, okay, well, we'll calm him down. What about Chaser? Oh, okay, we'll start making him good again. Shit, we still got, like, 10 episodes. Okay, we'll make him pure evil again. It'll be fine. I feel like they were just kind of branching out in all these different directions at the beginning of the show because they needed to stall for time.
I still think it might have been for toy sales,
they
too.
They got to the point. It absolutely had to be for toy sales because that was when they dumped most of their toys. Ryder always dumps the majority of his toys in quarter one and quarter two.
Like, I think that because of the way they were trying to do the toys is why the show was structured funny. And so, like, they didn't know how to do it. Like
what gets me about that is that this is Riku Sanjo. He knows what he's doing. And that's what gets me the most about what's going on with this show in particular. Like, I feel like he had a full plan and a full story, but Bandai and, like, TV Asahi and Toei and everyone were like, well, no, you can't do that. You need to change it up. You need to be focused on toys at the beginning of the show. And so, basically, I feel like he had to basically what he wanted to do at all.
Bandai of America and have horrible distribution and don't have a Gold Morpher ready, no villains to ever find.
Like, he had to write in all the cars. He had to write in, like, Chase constantly being there and with his viral cores and the brake gunner and to sell all of that. And then once they're okay, the toys are out now. Oh, okay, cool. All right, we're going to make him a writer now. That's what I've been trying to fucking do for 3 months.
I would have been fine with Chase just being more around a lot or just in the background and sort of slow playing the story but without the brainwashing. Like, the double brainwashing was overkill. Like, the one time would have been fine, but...
Like, just have him start turning good and go, like, oh, you need to think about things and have him go run just off go and brood. Brood. Have him yeah, go exactly. be Zuko.
Exactly. There you go. Chase alone. There you go.
Hey, guys, it's Chase.
and hey, everyone, Chase here. I forgot what I was saying. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't want to sound like it's a bias with Gaim, but, like, I feel like they handled it better. Like, I don't remember too many times where I felt like they were interrupted by toys. Like, obviously, they're still trying to sell it, and you know when stuff was happening because of toys, but everything felt pretty natural. I mean, you had stuff like Pine and Ichigo, which was left by the wayside, but, like, when the Energy Riders showed up, that felt natural, and, you know, Gaim getting Jimba also felt natural. Like, everything felt like it had a place in the plot. I think there was maybe some better communication going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a lot of them, not necessarily. Even O's are, like, double. I don't remember too many times feeling like it was interrupting it. Like, this one I felt, other than just in fact, hey, look, here's something new. But this one is the first time I felt in a long time that I felt it was actually interrupting, like, the pacing.
Absolutely.
I think the difference, though, like, with Gaim is that he even said, Orochi said he started at the end with where he wanted the characters to go and then structured the story to backwards to where they were going to start at. And I don't know if this was necessarily done that way, because then with Orochi, they said, okay, well, give Baron a power up. You know, do this with this character. And so he just kind of added it in, and it was something that was added in at the last minute. And you can kind of tell to where the rest of everything, Jimba and Kachidoki, it all came naturally. But like things like Baron Lemon or the Yomotsu Hegiri arms at the end felt like, oh, this makes no sense. Why is this here?
Whereas I feel like Baron's, but it didn't really that bothersome. It was just like, hey, I want a stronger suit. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it was completely unplanned, which is why it worked the way it did, and they didn't have a toy for it in the originally made out. And but here, it was, you know, they kind of had all the toys thing, and he started at the beginning, and they just said, more cars, delay chase. And so then just screwed up the entire writing and the entire show.
I think it worked a lot better in Gaim, because you have a series where the entire core concept is about the struggle for power. And so these characters needing to get little upgrades to sell toys or sell more premium toys is really easy to write in, because it's just these guys want to get more power. Hey, here's a new random ass Lockseed. The explanation's not always the best, but the motivation is always there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot easier for Gaim to get away with those kind of things, I think.
Yeah.
Well, they got away like, with...
The shift car... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
It's okay. They got away with having something hidden in a drawer, you know?
Like, I'm still kind of bothered about the cyanide Lockseed. I forgot about that. I was just going to say, like, the shift cars, like, even if they had, like, 15 more shift cars they never used, they never really interfered with the plot. Like, that's something you can always say, like, oh, look, they're trying to sell the toy this week. But, like, stuff like I, you know, mocked and Chase's weird things where I felt were actually... felt like it interfered, but like multiple different shift cars, I mean, other than it's kind of annoying that they didn't use a lot of them, didn't really bother me, because that just kind of set me up to accept Nowatoku is they're going to be trying to sell you lots of stuff. But I think that, like, in general, a good policy for a lot of these shows, they need to have a better communication between the writing staff and, like, Bandai, other than, like, from the get-go, in terms of, like, what the writers want to do and what they need to do, because I feel like sometimes there's good communication and sometimes it just doesn't feel like there is. Because they have a pretty straightforward toy release schedule, too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I also think there's a little bit of a staffing issue. Because it's not like with US shows or like anime or stuff like that, where you have a pretty consistent production team. Like, you've got the writers that just do everything and stuff. Ryder is always this thing that continuously changes their staff because, like, the next one begins about halfway through the current one. So you never have a full level of consistency, so you're always bringing either new people on, or people that haven't done it in a while, or this or that, and I think it leads to a little bit of inconsistency.
Oh, you're bringing like last year's Sentai Rider in to come write Rider, right. Or because of the way that the shows are already offset, and you know, which I guess allows them to do that now too, make it a little easier on them for staffing. But it's not the same team every year, like you have for, you know, a regular like American show with a writing team and everything. Like a CW show like Arrow. Arrow has the same writers every year. They have breaks, they stop, they're hiatuses. Rider and Sentai go constantly. By the time you're halfway done Drive, they've already started working on Ghost.
I see this a lot, but I think Rider and Sentai truly do suffer because of that. Because, I mean, like I've said with, like, Tokuger and stuff, if you go through Tokuger and file down a lot of the filler episodes, or, like, there's bits in some filler episodes that are important to the story, but it's usually the end. So if you, like, just skip to the very end of a certain episode and catch that part for story's sake, if you condense it down to, like, a 30, 35 episode show, it's really solid. And so I'm not saying, like, filler can't exist or anything like that, because sometimes filler can be great, enjoyable, fun episodes, but Rider and Sentai just have this tendency to drag, and it's why, like, the beginning of Drive was dull, or, like, the beginning of Shinkenger was dull, or anything like that. There's bits of these shows that are going to be dull, and it's a matter of whether it can capture you or not during those dull points, and a lot of the times it can't. And so it just becomes a drag.
That's something that I think PR benefits from, is even not just now, or better, like in Disney, they would trim it down and that you would have breaks so that, you know, the staff would have time to work on it. Like right now, where there's a break between seasons and the episodes would get trimmed. Like Mystic Force, maybe it could have had a couple more episodes to flesh things out, but one of the reasons I love it is the story was so well done continuously because it was trimmed down. Even Samurai, as much flack as it gets, trimmed down some of the more boring Shinkenger filler because we had less. So I think that's kind of a benefit. Like, it's kind of nice as it is sometimes to have a show to watch every week. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to have a more normal structure for Sentai and Rider, where there's maybe a bit of a break and less episodes in favor of, like, a better plot. Because you can still release toys during the break. It's not like they would lose toy sales from that.
So I'm going to interrupt and say that activation was like 3 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah, I got Captain Phasma.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, that's sorry. Cool because I totally didn't because I was not looking at the clock. So
I thought I missed it because Ami tweeted out something like 10 minutes ago. And I was like, oh, shit, I thought it was at midnight. I forgot what time it was. I didn't want to get DK, but I went back like 3 seconds ago and it was gone. DK went fast. Don't they have a second activation?
Usually.
Yeah, in like 2 hours or something like that.
Honore!
Sometimes it pops up in a couple minutes, you never know.
Yeah.
Anyway. There was one thing I wanted to address and I don't remember. Real quick, just characters.
By nudity?
In general, there's a fucking piece I was looking for. It was underneath a goddamn shield. Stupid shield. We'll get to
damn
you
it,
later.
Shield, you and humans.
just characters real quick. I dug Shinosuke. He took a while for him to grow on me, but I ended up appreciating him as a main writer. I think he was fine.
He was fine.
There's no real standouts on the good side for me in terms of, like, favorite characters. Like, I like Chase a lot. I love Chase. He's great. But he's not, like, going to go down as, like, one of my favorite Rider characters ever or anything like that. But I really like Chase. Chase was probably my favorite on the good side. I ended up liking... I hated him at the start, and then I got aggravated with him when he started betraying everyone. But looking at the full character arc, I understand everything they wanted to do. I don't think they did it right, but I appreciate what they wanted to do, so I don't mind Go at all. I just didn't particularly
he's still kind of a fuck.
All that thrilling.
He could have been a pretty good character if they would have tightened up his storyline.
Yeah.
made him a little bit more tight.
Like, it, whereas Chase's storyline dragged like no other, Go's was, like, just super bumpy. Like, it was like, oh, he's crazy. Oh, he's just kind of mellowed out, whatever. And then, like, oh, now he's, like, crazy in, like, the killer sort of way. And
his what was bumpy?
He's dead heat surveying.
Crotch.
Ooh, kinky.
So, there's that. The villains, though, started off nothing. They were these things.
They were pretty generic, you know, writer, villain, monster people.
They were terrible.
So there's that, and but I mean later on, by the time that that the middle part of the show happened and they introduced 001 and the Roid Mutes started to get a direction of what they were trying to do. Like, it was mentioned the first episode, they're like, oh, they're trying to do a global freeze, and I thought they was trying to restore something, but maybe not, whatever.
Yeah, it was super unclear, and they just kept saying promise number a lot, thinking we'd get it.
But by the end, I was like, not rooting for the Roid Mutes, but, like, I really liked all of their characters. Brain was great. Medic was probably lowest on the scale for me because she just didn't do a whole lot until like that very end. But Hart was phenomenal. Everything about Hart was great. Like his actor was great. Hart's like character story was great. I like Hart a lot. He's pretty.
I think it would have been awesome if they would have like started having threads of the sort of Roy Mutes being more sympathetic throughout the beginning of the series. I think the only time I can really think of that happening was like around almost before the midway change when Chase was going through his change. Decade. when Decade showed up and him and Hart had a talk. where like he was showing this semblance of honor in terms of when Chase was having a hard time deciding, he wasn't like, oh, fuck you, let's brainwash you again. He was like, you gotta live your own life, man. Like, I think that was, like, the first glimpse I saw of a bit more of a gray area. But that would have been really awesome, like, even better to have that throughout the series, because otherwise they just seemed like, you know, generic, like, writer monsters. But in this case, it wasn't really their fault that they sort of had these evil tendencies.
Yeah, once they introduced Bono, they started giving him all characters, and then it was nice that you got to see where they all came from, like what they were all modeled after.
Even Chase.
His
grumpy cop.
Stick up his ass.
He's like Grumpy Cat, but with cop. his partner is actually Grumpy Cat, voiced by April.
I hope Grumpy Cat has another Christmas special. But yeah, I wish
it's just fucking stupid. Load faster.
I wish it was a little bit more balanced in terms of story, but by the end of it, I really liked them, and overall, I really like the message about how flawed humanity is. And instead of like these monsters, it's like, well, the real villain was awesome. Humanity, because Bono was a sick fuck. He's two fucks. That's how
he's a double fuck.
Fuck squared.
Just like Ami Ami right now. So I had a lot of problems with Drive at the beginning. I do not blame anyone that dropped it at the beginning. If you dropped it and still haven't revisited yet, I do urge you to either power through it until 25 or just kind of read what happens and start again at 25. Because it really turns it around. It pulled a Tokuger on me, but Tokuger did it a lot later.
But, yeah.
But it turned into... It won't crack my top 5 or anything. It might be in my 10. I would need to reconfigure everything and just kind of let it sink in and check, but... it ended on a very positive note, and I did overall enjoy the series for what it was once it kind of worked itself out.
Yeah, I'm much more much happier, much more pleased with the series when it has a strong ending.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, they slow start off slow beginning, and while it's kind of like, oh, let's get into something, and I want to be drawn into it like I was with Gaim, I'd much rather have the beginning be the rough patch and it end well than have like the beginning be like really fucking good and it's like you're going somewhere and then you get to the end and nothing happens and there's no payoff and it's just awful. Mm-hmm. Ryuki.
Yeah.
Ryuki pissed me off. Like, I would much rather hashtag have it like agreed. This way.
Hashtag cahoots.
Hashtag cock meat sandwich.
I think the thing that I just want to say for my ending is that I'm glad that the second half was enjoyable because Gaim really brought back my love for Ryder, where like, I was getting really fatigued. And like as Drive went on in the very beginning, like around like 15-ish when it was getting kind of into the drought, I was really worried because I was starting to get fatigued again. And I was like, I was upset that Gaim was going to be like a one-hit wonder. And like Drive didn't obviously rise to the level of Gaim, but I was so happy to still be enjoying it that it didn't take away the renewed energy I had for Ryder. So I'm very glad for that.
You know, I'm glad it ended well because it felt like I got a payoff. Like, I felt like I got something for powering through the bad times. Like, it was like I got, you know, you sat through all the shitty parts of the show. Well, now we're going to, you know, pay you back by giving you a some decent shit here at the end. Like, all right, cool. Great. Thanks. I appreciate that. Also, fuck Dawson.
You got anything to say, George?
I literally have nothing. You guys, like, covered it perfectly. And I feel like I'm just listening to the podcast right now and not live tweeting and twitching.
George is just in the VIP seats of the
The velvet seats, baby.
I think that covers it then, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Overall, a positive experience. I'm really hoping that Ghost... And I won't say lives up to Drive, because, well, Drive had moments, but I hope Ghost is solid. And even if Ghost isn't the most amazing story, at this point, I just really want some consistency on the good side of things.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want it to be consistently bad. That would be upsetting. But I would just like a consistent show that doesn't, like, totally change the ball halfway through. I realize that a lot of toku does that, like that they start kicking into their plot about halfway through, but I don't want it to be as sudden of a shift as Drive was. So I'm hoping for a solid show. There's a lot of things I like about how it looks and everything,
because
so.
It really was, one minute you're there and it's being weird, the next minute you come back and you're like, what the fuck happened to this show? It's
I'd rather have it be like Drive, where it's kind of meh, and then it kicks into gear around 25, then a Ninja, which just never kicked it into gear.
True.
The Ninja is at episode, like, 32, and it still hasn't kicked into anything.
I still feel it's
starting to string together a plot, except it's still doing it awfully. So... Poor Ninja. Whatever.
Alright, now it's time to talk about the Worldwide Day of Play. That screen, I just watched it for hours just saying Worldwide Day of Play.
So now it's time for...
Ramble time.
So, Pokemon was up first.
Real quick, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. They're still dumb for not knowing who Team Rocket was, but I at least enjoyed a bit of this episode because of the adorable Pokemon costumes. Pachirisu as, what was it, Corphish? Was Pachirisu? Pretty fantastic. I said Pachirisu, didn't I?
Yeah.
Not Pachirisu, is that right? Yeah, Pachirisu. Damn it, Pachirisu, you two! Dedenne as Corphish. Like, the costumes were pretty funny. I was entertained by them, and I liked the whole sort of Halloween-y vibe, but I like how you said that, like, you thought that Ash knew it was them, and they didn't. I thought the same thing.
Like, I mean, like, Jessie's standing there talking about her bond with Punkaboo, and I'm sitting here going... Okay, they got to realize what's happening at this point. She's talking about Punkaboo and stuff I'm sure they know that happened. And they're like, Team Rocket! And I'm like, oh.
God damn it. Like, there's so much evidence. Practically wearing a name tag that says, Hi, my name is Team Jesse. I mean, Team Jesse. Hi, my name is Jesse with Team Rocket written on it. Oh, stupid.
Team Rocket? Aw. Give me my chest pin.
Like, I had no idea that she had one of those, like, super-sized Punkaboo.
Like, it's hard to tell in the anime, because I don't think we've ever seen another Punkaboo.
So. Yeah. Then you see that dude, he's got, like, the fucking tiny one.
I never realized Punkaboo could be so tiny.
It's a micro Punkaboo.
I'm like, that's actually kind of adorable.
And he's like, it's not the size, mate. It's how you use it. Dad, your spy car's a mini.
Daddy wasn't there. That's Tyler's song.
That's most Toku characters' thong.
Thong? Hashtag Toku thong. Gives you a urinary tract infection right off the bat. All Toku gives you urinary tract infection. Everyone knows that.
Who doesn't like urinary tract infection?
Babies can smell money. Everyone knows that. Anyway, speaking of urinary tract infections, you guys want to talk about penis. Turtles quick?
Yes.
So Turtles was fucking amazing.
That was great. Like, for
Krang, for Prime, all
the
shit and Subprime.
I give the beginning of season 3. And I like, a strong finale can't turn the entire season around. I think the season, for the most part, had moments, but it overall was probably, I think, the weakest season.
But so damn, much that was a good happening finale. At one time. I didn't know what was going on around me. I was freaking out.
Like, that was a great finale.
I really think that, I really believe Gilbert Gottfried enjoyed being able to call Roseanne a large blob.
Elena Gilbert Gottfried.
I believe that because, I mean, how could you not? But yeah, we all know where this is going, right? They're going to go have a jaunt with David Tennant in space. And then they're going to get timey-wimey, and they're going to go bring the Earth back and save Splinter's life. That's the end game. That's obvious. Yeah.
Splinter missing again?
Oh, he's dead.
He died.
Oh, so he's missing.
Like, you actually saw Shredder stab him with his claw.
In the Vampire Diaries world, that's missing.
Like, and you know, it kind of pissed me off. Like, obviously there's a whole, like, okay, Splinter dead thing, but like, what fucking kind of asshole are you? Like, the whole planet is about to be destroyed. And here's your dumbass, instead of saving it, which you could have done, you're going to stab Splinter. He could have, saved it and then stabbed Splinter, like, a second and a half later, and I wouldn't be as pissed off.
He could have stabbed Splinter with one hand and shut it off with the other hand.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no reason that he had to just be such a fucking douchebag. Fuck, man.
He's like, but I won!
Yeah, he's like... Like, Tiger Claw's like, God damn it, sir. What the fuck, man?
God damn it, sir.
He's so respectful.
And he's just like, at least I won. Hamato Yoshi is dead. Yeah, so is everyone on the planet, you fucking tool.
Is Cry dead yet?
Well, yeah. Yeah, at this point, yes.
Good.
Everyone is dead except the four turtles, April and Casey. Everyone else in the world is dead.
Like, and then I saw, like, Muckman come in, and I'm like, I don't remember the Muckman episode. Did I watch that one? Did I talk about it?
It was right after the Grammar Man episode. Classic me.
I can imagine the look on Kevin's face right now.
I feel like I should have seen that one coming.
Breaking news. Theater bonus for the next movie Tyson is Chase's driver's license covered in blood.
In blood? No. Yeah.
You're making like that a bloody up. Driver's license and a ghost fanny pack. Oh my god. I need
a ghost fanny. We need to get the ghost fanny pack, Ryan.
Is there a picture?
Yeah, I just retweeted it. Wait a minute. Okay.
Wait, hold on.
My Twitter client? My Twitter client.
There's George.
Did here, they have to make it like the death version? Couldn't they just been the clean driver's license?
There might be a clean version that was given out during the summer movie. I'll have to check. I know they were giving away the driver's license. I don't remember if it was Chase's or Shinosuke's, so I'll have to check. I think it was Chase's.
So it's like his bike.
Oh, his signal bike and the driver's license.
Yeah, but it's like the bloody, like, broken up version after
that's so sadistic.
Mono killed him. I know.
I want that, it, though. It's,
have your dead hero's driver's license.
I'm fine with it.
I want the signal bike.
Me too.
Signal bike, shift car, Raida, Maha.
Okay, back to turtles. Sorry. I had to point that out. We, like, just predicted it.
But, like, I don't have a whole lot to say other than it was really cool. It was neat to see the more Triceratons.
I know. Right? Like, the lead Triceraton is voiced by Coldstone. Best gargoyle ever.
Resisting Jason Creamery. Morgan Nemesis.
And Coldstone Creamery.
I want ice cream now. Damn it, George.
Right now it's the Jake Doe Creamery. But...
God damn it, George.
I have pumpkin.
Do you realize what you've done?
Oh, man.
But it was a really strong finish to an overall awful season. Like, it introduced a lot of characters I really like.
I love Brian's taglines tonight. Like, I'd like to see back at DV Box, really strong finish to an awful season.
I had a really strong finish.
When's season 4 premiere? This week?
2 weeks, I think.
Oh, Jesus, they have a weird structure.
23rd or something. I want it to start soon because I want to see Fugitoid.
I know, like, I need more David Tennant. Me so horny.
So anyway, next.
Oh, me so horny.
So I'll just cover it quickly because I don't have a terrible amount to say about Fear the Walking Dead.
I've got nothing to say.
Like, it wasn't as eventful this week either, but we just basically saw inside that camp. We saw that this black dude's essentially ready for the apocalypse. He's kind of got that mindset.
I kept looking at him going, you're really familiar, and I don't know him from anything. I think he just looks like the angel from Constantine. But it's a completely different black person, so... Well...
Oh, that's good. I'm trying to think what else happened. I mean, the soldiers are basically just a bunch of corrupt fucks. That's basically what you get out of this episode.
Yeah.
And, like, that one guy wanted to quit, and then they just beat him up, and they're trying to get the dad guy, whose name I still don't remember, to shoot a Travis? Walker. And,
did you say Daniel? Chris?
Travis.
Oh, Travis. Oh. Like, where did I get Daniel from? Who the fuck is Tosh? Daniel?
Tosh was in it. Tosh.0 crossover event with Fear the Walking Dead. It was really strange.
That would be awesome.
And they killed the foot lady with a nail gun or whatever because she was about to turn.
We all knew she was going to die, though. Oh, Daniel. Daniel's the barber.
Shredder, damn it, joke ruined. Never mind, continue.
I don't really have much to say. I mean, we'll see how next week ends. But the last 2 weeks, they haven't been entirely uneventful. They didn't keep up that pace that they started to get into. I mean, it basically was pretty predictable. The military was essentially just going to be corrupt and stupid. Although they know now that you die no matter what, and yet they're still detaining people. So that seems pretty stupid. If they know that you come back as a walker no matter how you die, I don't know what their problem is.
They also know that, you know, you gotta go for the head because you see, like, the...
Yeah, they knew that.
Like... So. I liked when the barber guy was torturing the soldier. That was fun.
That was a blast. Fun for the whole family.
I'm a fan of torture, so I laugh at that kind of stuff. So it makes me fun, happy. It makes me fun. But it was good. I mean, I'm enjoying the show. I want to see how the season ends. But yeah, I really don't know what else to say about it.
I was really bored. I'll be right back. I gotta piss.
Damn it, Brian! You're one of the three people that saw Doctor Who. There he goes.
Yeah, my DVR couldn't record it because of technical difficulties. Because the fucking douchebag.
You know what we can do while we wait?
Masturbate.
George- George, you saw Once Upon a Time, right?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of the premiere?
I thought it was pretty good, but the memory lapse thing again.
Yeah, like that is even Snow was like again.
Again.
Yeah, and that was pretty cheap.
Yeah, definitely. And suddenly Emma, when she comes out of the pit, she
I fell in the pit.
Dirty and disgusting and in mythological clothes. Like, dirty obviously means bad. Like,
it's just like the dark eyes. Like, she got circle under her eyes. She's turning evil.
Yeah. Like, there's so many things like that have always bothered me in the show. Like, good guys always wear white, bad guys always wear black. You know, but, like, I don't know. I kind of liked what was going on with Hook and
Guyliner. Regina has the best lines. I love when the dwarf showed up and she said, "And no dwarves allowed, adults only."
I love that.
Like, Regina's the best. But I thought it was pretty solid. I agree that the memory loss thing was pretty dumb and, like, really unnecessary. And it's if they had done that maybe in season – well, it was season one, I guess. But, like, it was so close that they just did that.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit worried because, like, they showed a little sneak preview of Dark Swan. But then, like, all the other previews made it seem like – I was worried that the whole storyline was essentially going to be her – like she wasn't in this episode, like, trying to fight it the whole time. And we were never going to get to see full-blown Dark One.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we're not doing that, at least, because it would have been a waste. I think it would have been neater, instead of having them go to Camelot, is to have them – it would have been cool, like, if they were trying to get to Emma, and then when they got to her, maybe, like, the spell messed up and, like, the timing between worlds was off, and a lot of time had already passed for Emma, and she was already the Dark One. Yeah,
I thought they were going to do something like that. That would have been so much better.
Because I still think it's going to be neat to see flashbacks of how
Emma... Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, and there could still be some neat stuff in their flashbacks of what happened, but I think it was a pretty weak device, and I'm mainly interested in the Dark Swan stuff.
Yeah.
So I think there's some neat stuff going on with that, but they definitely didn't need to do that. I think it'll be kind of funny seeing Granny's Diner in the middle of the Enchanted Forest.
That's, like, I wanted to bring that up, too. Like, it's so crazy.
So that'll be funny for the flashbacks, but yeah. There could have been better ways to go about it, but I think it'll be interesting because essentially everything's opposite because, I mean, Rumple went pretty evil last year, but you have characters like Rumple and Regina who started evil, and then as the series goes, you see more good in them, and then you have Emma, who was, like, the good of the show, becoming evil. So I think there'll be some interesting dynamics with that, especially since Regina's full good now and Emma's full bad here. And then, like, Hook as well, because of their relationship. I'm curious what happened between them.
Yeah. I don't know.
So I think it'll be pretty interesting half season. I think it's pretty good. I was just going to say that I like that we have – because I do like the event characters, but I like that we have a focus on, like, the core characters. And we have elements from, like, Camelot and stuff, but it's not all about
– Yeah. And, like, Merida, I don't know if Merida's going to even pop up again.
I don't think so. I think she might have just been a one-off.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I like when they do little things like that.
And I like that, unless they mentioned it before and I just forgot because it's been so long, that I didn't know that the Rumple's dagger was the end of Excalibur.
Love that. That's so cool. They never have brought that up before.
I had no idea. Like, that show's mythology is so crazy and... It's like, we said it before, but the perfect tagline for that show is, it's fucked up, but it's awesome. Like, it's got the most crazy, weird stuff, but it's also super creative and fun, and it's had some really good character development.
Yeah. The one weird thing, like, my biggest problem with the whole episode, besides the, you know, like, the memory lapse thing, is the fact that they were playing The Sword in the Stone in the movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because the show takes so many Disney cues because, like, it is a Disney show. They shove it in your face 24/7.
Yeah.
And, like, that really bothered me. You know, like, they can make little hints to, like, Mickey and stuff. I don't care. And have, like, you know, Elsa show up and look like Elsa from the movies and act like that. But that was way too far for me. It really bothered me.
Yeah, they have old stuff a little bit too much on the nose with that stuff. I thought that they did pretty well with the Frozen stuff, though. Like,
I was a little worried. Yeah.
But, like, I love how they tied it in with Emma's own, like, just starting with magic and stuff like that.
Yeah, I loved that. I meant, like, as a like a good comparison.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
What the fuck is going on?
We decided, because we were waiting for you for Doctor Who, so we started talking about Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
Because there's no more Walking Dead, so... You left, like, at the worst possible time. You're like, alright, Doctor Who, bye! I'm like, wait, Brian! Okay. We pretty much got good Once Upon a Time. You ready to talk about Doctor Who, Brian?
Yeah.
Alright, then you lead it off.
it's
too much responsibility.
Me so horny. Like, oh, me so horny.
It's a thing where, like, last week we're like, oh, it's a setup episode. I think together, as both parts, if you just kind of squish them into, like, a 1 hour and 40 minute thing or whatever the fuck it is, that this was a fantastic season opener.
Yes, like, yes, yes.
Really was.
So good.
The best Dalek episode I think I've ever seen.
And I'm not usually... honestly, the Daleks are probably one of my least favorite antagonists. I don't find them threatening at all. They're so overdone. I have to mention quick before I forget it, George was just complaining a while back about the Doctor not having his own screwdriver. Now he has sonic sunglasses.
I know. Oh my god, I almost had an orgasm. I have those sunglasses, so it was like the best day ever.
So like, I don't know if that'll be permanent. I think it would be kind of neat if it is, just because it's an interesting little twist on it. And this Doctor doesn't use his screwdriver that much anyway, that I remember.
Yeah, well, there's been like variations on it before, like the umbrella, the cane.
So I think that'll be pretty cool. There was a lot of people complaining about it. I'm like, I think that's pretty cool.
I love it. I thought it was so creative.
Calm down, sir. No joke. When I read the review, IGN's review, like within the first 20 minutes of comments, there was a commenter that said, "Reminds me of when they ruined the Geki Ranger Morphers by making Jungle Fury sunglasses." I'm like, how the fuck did a Sentai Goober get here?
God.
They're not allowed outside of their cages. Like, I didn't even knew they knew about normal stuff. Like, I couldn't even believe they were there. But, yeah. So I had to bring that up. God dang. But yeah, I definitely agree. It was a great episode. Definitely one of the best Dalek episodes. And it was pretty obvious that at some point Stavros, or whatever his name is, was going to betray them. But I honestly believe that moment of the... when they were laughing about, I guess, not a very good doctor, I think that was genuine.
Yeah, definitely.
And that was pretty funny and, like, really unexpected. And it was a well-done series of scenes that kind of really showed, like, the weight of history between all of it.
You started to feel for him, and then...
And then he had to be a dick.
Maybe Davros isn't such a bad guy after all. Well, there he goes.
I love when the doctor called him a moron and Missy was just snickering.
Missy was so damn good in this episode. She, like, had so many moments that are, like, forever embedded in my brain.
She's just fantastic in general. Like, I've seen a lot of positive response to her, but I don't understand any of the negative response, really. Like,
I love her so much.
She's such a breath of fresh air, like... after the Master's last appearance, like, the actor was good, and I liked him in his first appearance at the end of Series 3, but the End of Time storyline was a complete mess. I'm sorry. It was really dumb, and I just love her personality, and I think that she really highlights, which is maybe something they've always been trying to do, but my only familiarity with the Master was from this most recent one before, but, like, she really highlights essentially being the opposite of the Doctor. And that the Doctor is kind of crazy and funny, but he's doing these heroic things. And he's also got this dark edge to him sometimes, where he does not questionable things, but I guess you could say questionable things. And then where Missy is, like, really can be really funny and crazy and is evil, but then has, like, sometimes this, like, good edge where she cares about somebody like the Doctor. I think it's, like, these perfect opposites. And it's really, I think, illustrated here best, from what I've seen, at least.
Well... the other Masters were always more subtle. You know, it was kind of, you know, they were the antithesis of the Doctor and kind of,
you know, they just did evil things and they were on everybody's side and no one's side.
I like to do evil things.
It was a lot of boring, crusty old men and one giant thing that looked like Jolly Ranchers melted on somebody's face. Like,
who Boone's dildo? Like,
who doesn't like crusty old men?
And, but the Master has had a really, like, weird past, and Missy's, like, the best version, hands down.
Yeah, I absolutely love her. And, like, the whole Clara in the Dalek thing, it reminded me of when we first met Oswin.
Yep. That was so intentional.
I thought that there was going to be something that she said for some reason that tied back to Asylum of the Daleks that was going to make him realize it.
Yeah, that would have been great.
For some reason, but can you imagine how scary that would be? Like, no matter what she would say, it would pretty much just say, I am a Dalek. That would be terrifying. God.
I'm a Dalek.
the doctor in Davros's chair was the greatest thing.
And he had the tea.
Yes.
Oh, man. So good.
Don't question it. I'm the doctor. Did you see, like, the behind-the-scenes video of him riding it all around?
Mm-hmm.
It's so cute. He was, like, a 10-year-old, and he's going, it's fantastic.
They had to make him a new one.
Yeah, because he said, like, it was kind of slow, and I was like, fuck this, basically. It made me a new one. But yeah, it was really good. I think this is going to be another good year. Like, I really liked last year, so I think this year's going to be just as good. I'm kind of curious when Clara's going to leave.
Probably the finale, if not right before.
Like, because they just won't say when, which makes me question whether it would be, like, midway through, which would be kind of weird.
It could be, you know? We never know. It's Doctor Who.
Yeah, so... It just because, like, with Amy and Rory, we knew it was going to be, like, before the break between the seasons, because when we came back, it was Clara. Or Christmas special, I guess, and then Clara. But, so... I'm just kind of curious about that. But a lot of the stuff from the season looks good, and I guess... I didn't know because O'Brien mentioned a couple weeks back that most of it's two-parters, which is really nice because I like when they have more
concise storytelling. I think all of it's two-parters.
I think so.
Oh.
Yeah, there's six groups of two-parters, and they all have corresponding names. Like, the final one is Heaven Sent, Hell Bent.
Oh. Like
the two titles. Let me see if I can pull it up, but...
Like, I like when it has more concise storytelling.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I really liked Series 6, because it was a little bit more serialized. You know, I really don't... Like, don't get me wrong, I love Tenet, and I liked a lot about those eras, but I do not understand people that, like, demonize the Moffat era compared to the Davies era, like, at all. Mainly because neither one is perfect in terms of plot structure, but I feel like there's at least a bit more of a clearer intention in this era. Yeah. Especially Series 4, like with Journey's End and everything, I feel like they just threw everything into a blender and then made you watch it. Like, it was so messy and there was so much going on. Like, there's definitely moments like that here, but I still feel like there's a better intention of making things make sense somewhat.
Yeah.
It's just like so many of all the comments I see are like, oh, fuck Moffat, he's ruining it. It's the worst. Bring back Tennant and Davies. Bring back Rose.
The only thing Davies needs to do is make some more fucking Torchwood. That asshole has all the rights and won't make any more Torchwood, and I want to scream.
Plus, his lead character can be Ra's al Ghul now, so.
Deckard.
I want to be Ra's al Ghul.
Akamele.
But I pulled up the episode title. And they are all corresponding, and they're all... Every single one is a series of two-parters.
That's nice.
The next one is Under the Lake, and then after that is Before the Flood. And five and six are The Girl Who Died and The Woman Who Lived. That could be Clara's final episode.
Harry Potter?
That's all I can think of during that, too.
Moaning Myrtle, The Girl Who Died and...
Then the mid-season is the Zygon Invasion and the Zygon Inversion, where Oswin...
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. And then two Edgar Allan Poe themed episodes called Sleep No More and Face the Raven. So maybe Edgar Allan Poe's in them. And then the finale is Heaven Sent and Hell Bent. So obviously I would say Danny comes back.
Obviously.
I'm saying it right now.
Jesse Pinkman's on his way back, bitch.
I need it in my diaper.
But it sounds like it's going to be a pretty good season just from the titles. Definitely. And I like the two-parter bit, too. It's kind of sometimes annoying to have to wait between stories, but still. You mean you have to wait a whole week between episodes? They're trying to kill the show.
I want to touch my penis.
So is Captain Jack.
Right up on side your face.
You know, I'm really not one for, you know, returning characters, but I would like to see Captain Jack at some point in Doctor Who, because it's been kind of ridiculously long since he's been on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like the best thing ever.
The last thing that happens, like, that we see him in is Torchwood, and he's like lying on the floor almost dying, and somebody else can't die too. And like, it's the biggest cliffhanger, and then they never continued Torchwood. And they've not gone back and said, like, even a line of, like, Captain Jack is out there. Like, Clara has his vortex manipulator that we never knew he lost. And
because they just said that he donated it or something.
Yeah. During one of his deaths.
Like, yeah, I want his vortex manipulator.
Oh, baby.
Well, I'd play with his vortex manipulator, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Manipulate his vortex.
He likes it in the butt.
Spike
they do
knows.
Call him, he they put do call him the. Oh God! What?
You haven't seen Torchwood?
No.
Oh, Spike with black hair and Captain Jack were making out and fucking everywhere and
is talking that the about reason they call him William the Bloody.
Oh God! Oh,
perfect.
Gave it to him a little hard, did he?
Lord, I'm cleaning my glasses like Giles, like a mad fiend. It's all right. I have more scotch.
You all should watch Torchwood. It's so good.
Oh man, I'm terrified now. Okay,
you're terrified. I'm terrified, and I want to take my pants off right in front of you.
Speaking of terrified, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They got attacked by an angry Jamaican beast. He's like, hey, man! And then he melts in humans' hearts with his Jamaican powers.
And his He's lightsaber like, hands.
He plays concentrated reggae into their hearts. And kills them. Just like, Chuck, dead. Like, in all seriousness, the hair... The hair wig effect of that is pretty bad, I have to say.
Horrible. In the comics, he looks like he has spikes coming out of his head. And
he's got a bunch of James Marsters coming out of him.
But like, he has like a bunch of like quills coming out of it. Oh God, now it's going to be...
Stay away from Randy!
Oh man, but like, he looks so much cooler in the comics. And he's not black. He's, like, pink.
Wow. Racist. like his face makeup and stuff is okay. But, like, I can't believe how bad, like, the headdress and stuff looks. Like, it
so bad.
Looks really cheap.
Even if you made it feathers or something, like...
Ugh. Even if they had taken liberties and just not done that part somehow.
Yeah.
Like, especially when you have, like, you got Flash over here on point looking like a movie. Like, there was a TV spot for it the other day when I was over at my friend's house, and he said, what's that? And I said, The Flash, the TV show. And he goes, it looks like a movie. And I was like, damn right, son.
You're better than some movies I've seen.
Yeah, so, but that's a Flash discussion. But yeah, that, I don't know why I decided to start the whole discussion on that, but it kind of had to be mentioned. But other than that, the premiere is pretty damn great.
I think it was on par with, like, some of the movies. It was that good.
Yeah, I stand behind the fact that I liked the season 2 finale more than Age of Ultron. Mainly because there was a lot of build-up to it, but...
Yeah, yeah.
But it was really good. The show's really come a long way.
It really has.
And I'm kind of like Coulson. I'm gonna have to get used to calling Sky Daisy. Like when I see her face, I just think, "Oh, that's Sky." So like, that'll take some getting used to. Everyone else is apparently used to it, including Lab Coat Jess. Wait, what? I just heard like shouting in the distance. There's a light in the distance. I can see it coming closer.
Sorry, I walked away from my bed. She was a Chinese pop star.
Wait, her name was Chinese prostitute?
In the comics?
I've got to, like, put the music video in the chat. Wait, what
is happening?
She literally was a Chinese pop star.
In the comics or the actress?
In real life.
The actress was? Chloe Bennett?
Yeah.
I did not know this.
She was a Chinese pop star.
China has pop stars?
Good old C-pop.
Okay, I put it in the chat. Like, you guys can watch it later if you want.
Chloe Wang?
Her name was Chloe Wang.
What a name.
Because they wouldn't let her use her real last name Bennett because it appeared too white.
It wasn't Asian enough, just like Johnny Young Bosch. It's still not as spectacular as Wei Wong. But there she is. I'm still going to have a hard time getting used to calling her Daisy, though. Maybe I'll just call her Wang.
Wang. Wang and Dong.
It's a boomerang.
But Joss Whedon, when he was casting the show with like the executive producers, he made her do the dance because he knew her from her music video.
There's a comment that says this is essentially like Sky's Robin Sparkle's days. It's amazing. So, yeah. But beyond her name thing, she's gotten pretty damn badass at her powers.
Yeah. The costume is perfect.
And I like her and Mac as a little team. Although Mac and Fitz is still my one-two pairing. But,
yep.
But, yeah, so that stuff was neat. And I thought it was an interesting twist that this organization that's like being run by this lady that tried to help Seattle Grace get back on their feet.
Also Strongarm from Robots in Disguise.
I thought it was interesting that like it was presented like, oh, they're totally enemies, even though they're going to be going against them, but like they're not entirely bad guys.
Yeah. Like
the whole conversation where they're like, wait, are we actually just helping each other now?
And then they brought the president back from Iron Man 3.
Yeah, that was a nice touch.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they horribly miscast Obama, but it's okay. Like, totally wrong direction with the character. So that was a nice touch. I liked seeing Fitz sort of hunting down Simmons on his own.
He was like having a James Bond episode. It was so good.
And his stutter's pretty much all gone.
Yep.
I love how they did a pretty good job of gradually doing that. Like, it was still around a little bit at the end of last season, but they did a good job progressing that. And she's on some crazy alien world or something.
That was... I screamed at the top of my lungs and woke up my dad.
Poor dad. R.I.P. George's dad's sleep.
Yeah, he gets, like, 4 hours a night, and I ruined it.
That was really neat, though. Not the sleep thing, but, like, where she is and stuff like that, And I also appreciate the fact that they don't always they don't have everybody in the episode if they don't need them. Like, we didn't see May yet.
Yep.
Like, they did try to force her appearance, and Ward Bobby is kind of sporadic.
Lance were just kind of there. You know, they had one little scene.
That was kind of also a subverted expectation of, like, it made it seem like they were in a fight again. But they were not in a tiff. They're just like, look, we don't know about the status of our spinoff yet. First it's on and then it's off. It's just, come on. Like, are we going to do a Doc Bobby show with my lab coat? What's going on? Am I going to go back to Supernatural? Am I the darkness? I don't understand. Let's see. What else? Oh, Coulson's cat mug was the best thing ever.
Oh, my God.
The thing I just loved about that is how straight it was played. Like, there was no mention of it. There's just an entire scene talking about serious stuff with him just with the cat mug. That's an important talking point. Come on, people. Why am I the only one who ever has things to say?
I don't know.
It was cool. I liked it.
Thank you, Brian. I feel like there's a lot more going on, but they got Melty Man, and he's super mad that he can't go out and do Melty Man stuff. He's got to stay in that super white room, but at least he has a nice-sized TV. I don't know what he's complaining about.
Yeah, I know. I like the new bus.
Oh, yeah.
Super
it's
bus.
It's so beautiful.
Super bus.
Magic school bus. Nailed it.
Damn, I just thought of something. Oh, I like how you can sort of tell that just the way the storyline's going with everything is definitely leaning towards some of like the Civil War-y issues.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm pretty interested to see how – I feel like this will be a bigger tie-in than Ultron's was.
There's many little things from the comics going on right now. There's like
– There was a little nod to Ant-Man that was really cool.
Yeah, they mentioned like the shrinking thing. That was neat. But, like, it's just cool to see, like, because they mentioned, like, on the news, like, obviously some of the bigger power stuff going on. But even just the general theme of the Inhuman storyline definitely has to do with it. So I'm very interested to see how that's going to be affected and everything. It should be interesting. I'm still just, like, so curious how the movie in the future is going to play out and how connected to any storylines here it will be. Not everyone, settle down. One at a time. I mean, come on.
Well, in the comics, it was a small group of Inhumans that kind of ignited Civil War. There was a big accident, and it caused Iron Man to get all up in everybody's face, and the Registration Act happened because of a group called the New Humans. There was like an accident where people got killed.
Jeez, all these different factions. Inhumans, New Humans, regular humans.
Well, the New Humans are like an offshoot of the Secret Warriors.
But... Hello, Newmans. Sorry.
But like, they're really leading it down that path, and it's so connected, and I can't wait to see what happens.
That's why it's all connected. I'm still curious why Agent Carter isn't on Netflix yet.
So I don't
give it a second shot. I'm really surprised because S.H.I.E.L.D. went up there, and I expected it to go up over the summer because I wanted to try to give it a second chance so I could watch season 2 live when it happened. So I'm hoping it goes up between now.
It has a pretty good run, you know. It starts off really, you know, oh, look, powerful woman, powerful woman, powerful woman, and that's what happens in every episode. And then it really starts to get going, and you'll like it.
Like, I just wanted to be able to see it. I'm just surprised I hadn't put it up on there yet. Because they put like almost everything else up now. Like most of the networks are getting all their fall stuff ready.
The Black Widow program stuff they do in that is so good.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, there's a character called Black Widow. Oh, wait.
I'm trying to think of if there was anything else.
Coulson has his like calcified hand in the lab. Still holding on
through three robo hands because Fitz wasn't there to help him.
Why doesn't he just get a hook? Like Hook.
He can go around saying R.
Tyra Coulson.
R.
Oh, I just got that. Ending thing. For Whedon shows. But I think it's going to be a good season. I don't think it'll be a bad season. I don't think I would say. I think it's going to be a terrible season. This premiere was good, but I think this season is going to be awful. Lincoln was trying to be a doctor, and now he can't. He can't be Dr. McLightning anymore.
They missed their Grey's Anatomy, you know, little connection.
Like, I thought that he was going to be with them when the series started. Like, I didn't know he broke off. Like, I guess he's kind of, you know, upset over everything that went down with Sierra from Dollhouse. I wonder, Max seems to have toned down his racism, so that's cool. Oh, I loved the line about him wanting his axe or some sort of shotgun axe combo. I thought that was funny. Yeah.
That would be a great weapon, though, I mean, honestly.
It would be. We'll be like the scythe with a shotgun.
Oh, sorry. I love the line where they're talking. Sky is talking to like the guy Joey, And he goes, I'm not a freaking TED Talk. I spit water across the room. I laughed so hard.
Moment of silence for George's room. There's a TV is a very traumatic experience over there, apparently. Don't ever kill. If they kill Clara off, I'm just going to go ahead and send a unit over there to check on her. Oh my God.
Nobody ever believes that story. And it's like, there were so many people coming down to our house to be like, are you okay? Who died? What happened? And then somebody, like multiple people, called to make a noise, like a volume disruption. And because Amy and Rory died, and I screamed and cried so loud that the police were called. That's how bad that episode affected me.
I still love the idea of that cop essentially making it seem like British people aren't real.
Oh my God. It's like, it was this ditzy blonde woman, not to be mean to police officers, but she's like a ditzy blonde woman and this like hulking black guy. And they come up to our door and it looks like a Halloween costume, two people in Halloween costumes. And
woman dressed as like, witch, man dressed as nerd.
And like, I explained to her what happens and, you know, they're just like, okay, you know, keep it down. And then she goes with her, like, semi-Southern drawl. She goes, you need to watch... I'm going British. You need to watch SpongeBob or something. And, oh, my God. I'll always remember that day. It was so fun.
Like, everyone... I always knew Chris from HJU was a fake persona. Like, we're totally getting catfished.
Catfished and shipped.
Oh, but yeah, that's just really funny. All right, is there anything else all three of us watch this on?
God, I hope not.
Because you remember that before, like, everything ever happened, the main reason, one of the main reasons George was on was for Teen Wolf.
Oh yeah.
I think we can do that quick. Like, not, like, super quick, but, like, not super long.
Okay, hit it.
All
right. I'm muting myself so I can type, FYI, so.
Okay, and then we can TTMF it, and then we can get out of here in a tight 15 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Teen Wolf. This season was good.
I liked it.
It's a good episode. I liked it. Or it was half season still. But, no, it really has been a fantastic season so far.
God. I can't wait to see what happens next.
Like I appreciate the fact that they, even though it's still structured in like an A-B scenario of season, that it's not wrapping up the arc and then going to the next one. Like, all the arcs kind of flow into each other, but it's not like, you know, the druid and then the
Oni.
Nikitsune. Yeah. It's not like it's still going to be part of one continuous storyline. It's just moving on to the next part of it. Because, like, as we were getting closer, I was like, there's no way they can wrap up all of this stuff with the Dread Doctors. Like, because they haven't even scratched the surface of the Dread Doctors' origins at all. Like, it's been very, ominous and mysterious, which is certainly added to the creep factor, because we still know very little about the Dread Doctors.
They're like the best villain designs I've seen in anything in so long.
Like, I think it's just intimidation wise too, they're one of the stronger ones.
I mean, they're so scary and disgusting, and I hate like body like morphing kind of horror, and they did it so perfectly, and I couldn't keep my eyes on the screen. I was like, you know, shielding myself behind the couch.
Like, and what's disturbing about them is they do have these really scary costumes, but like, when you think about like, oh, they look like these little scientists, and like, even though they look scary, like Scott could pummel them, but they're genuinely like strong and like cunning, and like, so they're, it's scary because it's hard to explain. Like, they look terrifying, but you think you could take them, but you can't. So it's just really unnerving, and like the perfect, like the noises they make and stuff is,
oh my God, it's so good.
And their voices are kind of hard to understand sometimes, but it's certainly creepy.
Yeah.
Like, they're pretty much like Bane. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, wait, what did you say, Bane? Like, you have my permission to die. I'm like, wait, why is Bane here? What's happening? They've been fantastic as villains, and I love the mood this season. It's super creepy.
Yes.
And like the horror level is like I think the strongest it's been, and like the whole vibe of it, and like the episode where they're all hallucinating and Lydia's tongue literally got ripped out in her hallucination. Oh, just God. Like it's some of the most disturbing stuff they've done, and experiments that are done to the kids and the injecting of the mercury. God. And
I hate needles so much that icicles, clowns, and stink bugs are like my
so like a clown stink bug giving you a shot with an icicle needle must just tear.
I'd die.
that's next season still.
Just add zombies. I can't do zombies.
Like when Liam and his girl Liam
chick face.
Yeah, when they were like, you know, kidnapped and like they showed like the giant needle shoved up their forearm.
Oh my god!
I could feel it.
Yeah, just like when Bobby had the stuff in her fingers at the end of the last season of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh my god!
You can feel it.
Oh my god! I'm thinking about it now, and I can feel it again.
But like they've done a really good job with that. Like that's one of the things. In terms of like a similar storyline, I think they did better than Buffy is the like mutated supernatural. Like there was some cool stuff with the Initiative story, but like it came off as goofy near the end. Definitely. Like with super yellow black guy. I forget what his name
is.
But like this one was like perfect because it gave that, you know, science-y experiment element, but it still kept a very supernatural feeling. And they brought back stuff like the Canima, which really hasn't been brought up in a long
time. I love all the little things, and then they hinted at things that could come in the future.
Yeah, like the Hellhound stuff.
Yeah, and the wings, found out whatever has Hellhound wings.
Yeah, so there's been some like really cool stuff this year. And oh my god, how am I forgetting his name? The guy that's like tearing everyone apart. No, not like literally. Like he's the one causing the trouble. Scott's old friend.
Theo.
Yeah, Theo. Like he's a huge dick, and he does such a good job at it because even when you know he's evil, there's times where you honestly kind of want to believe him.
Yeah.
And they did a good job of the sort of drifting apart of the group, because it kind of happened in a realistic way that it happens with friends in real life, is you don't even really notice it until you look around.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? He's
there, you know?
Yeah. Like it happened so gradually. Like we just hit an episode and I just kind of realized that everybody was kind of off keeping secrets and doing their own thing. And like, it was really well done and really sad.
Yeah. It really hit close to home.
Especially with how close everyone was at the beginning.
Yeah.
And Scott and Styles. And like, how could Styles? It's one of those classic, like, almost soap opera scenes where if they would include a few extra lines, then they could explain it to each other. But because they're both speaking so vaguely, but still, like, it's so sad to see that, like, Scott wouldn't give Styles the benefit of the doubt.
Exactly. That means believing Theo, who he kind of had suspicion of anyway.
Yeah. And he barely knew.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Malia and Styles really drifted apart as well. Even though she's like super cool, she's like, it's okay, I'm fine with murder.
They had that final scene like in the car together as they drove up to the building, and that was like, it was like they were calling their relationship quits.
Yeah, it was just sad. And even Liam and Scott too, because Liam tried to kill Scott.
Yeah,
like some crazy shit. Of course Mama McCall saved the day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Mom called us like, fuck you, Joyce Summers. but yeah, I forgot about Kira leaving, because that whole thing too with her fox spirit going crazy.
Yeah, that was creepy too. That's going to come back to haunt us.
Yeah, there's like a lot going on. Like when we're sitting here talking about it, I realize how much is going on, but
it's such a good show.
Well, they balanced it pretty well. I mean, because even though we're mentioning all kinds of things that are happening, it was pretty well balanced, and it's all tying together. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how the second half plays, because now we know Parrish is a hellhound, and like that painting or whatever that the doctors
have covered. I love that painting. It's my phone wallpaper.
Like, it's a hellhound and another creature that I can't think of, but it's probably going to come into play. Theo's pack of like zombie people or whatever.
You know, zombie chimera.
Yeah, and the thing I still think I'm most interested in terms of questions, is just the Dread Doctor's origins, because...
Yes, I can't wait to see where that goes.
Because there's been very minimal... I mean, that's definitely added to the creep factor, is how unknown it all is.
Where the hell is Deaton?
Well, he got arrested in real life or something, and he's over on The Walking Dead, so... Oh, speaking of, though, you know, I was thinking before the season started, like, when we heard Derek wasn't going to be on, I'm like, you know, that's fine. I don't really need him. But now, like, during the second half, I'm like, fuck, we kind of need Derek. Because Derek would be able to sniff out Theo's BS in, like, 1 second.
Exactly.
So I was kind of annoyed at that, because I think
even
Derek...
Even Peter.
Yeah, I think Derek definitely would have called. Oh, yeah, Peter for sure, because Peter's the master at that shit.
Yeah.
So, like,
I know what you're doing. How can I help?
Yeah, so, like... I think Derek would have called it. I kind of hope we see him at least once this season.
Yeah, me too.
Because I still don't think he's overall 100% needed for all time, but I kind of would like to be reoccurring. I think he's a good place for Scott to go, I think.
Exactly, for, like, you know, because even though Scott's kind of grown into this leader role, you know, sometimes he needs somebody to fall onto that's not his mom.
Yeah. And just out of sheer curiosity, it doesn't have to be this season, but I'd love to see Jackson cameo once, just like one episode. Yes,
even one. He's been on set so many times, he could have walked around in the background and said, "Hey, Scott."
Pretty much, like, because he was such a huge part of the first two seasons and his transformation into a werewolf finally from the Canima. Like, I just want to see one episode. Like, come on, can we just get Arsenal to flip in here, shoot a few arrows at the Dread Doctors? Like, come on. Like, it's just been so long since he's been on there. You almost forget he's on there. Like, so much has happened.
Yep. It's a completely different show, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Like, I hope everybody survives and stays on next season, except for Theo. I'm ready for him to die at the end of the season. Yeah, like, he's been good, but he's, like, a character that needs to die. But
I feel bad, because when I saw that he got cast, I was like, oh, no, what did they do? Because... he was so horrible on Pretty Little Liars. The actor had no chance to act. He just stood there and be like, "I'm kind of sexy.
I'm kind of sexy.
I'm the girl who can't act's little brother, and she never dies, and she's worse than Elena. And oh, I guess I'm in love with whoever the killer is, and the killer that's never killed anybody."
I guess it kind of shows to show you, like, how much direction and stuff matters.
Yeah, definitely.
And, like, what kind of material you're given.
Like, they could take, like, a Mega Force Ranger and make them, like, somebody legitimately terrifying.
Like, he's been really good at it. Like, switching back and forth between, like super likable and
he
cold.
He really got to shine. He really fit that role so well.
Like, there's some mystery there, too, about exactly how he got so messed up. And he's a chimera, too. He's not just, like, a werewolf.
Yeah, he's a perfected chimera, so.
Because I was kind of curious. They didn't fully answer how, like, all the reasons why he's involved with the Dread Doctors. But that's an obvious reason, is that he's one of their experiments.
Yeah.
Because at the very beginning of the show, it almost seemed like it might be two different storylines going on with him and the Dread Doctors. But then they're working together. But yeah, it's really been, I think, one of its best half seasons, and I think it'll probably be one of its best by the time it's done.
Yeah, definitely.
Curious to see where it goes.
The show, like, started out so good, and it just keeps getting better and better and better and better.
Yeah, we've talked about it before, but if you haven't checked it out, I definitely encourage it. It's
definitely. It's, like, one of my top five favorite shows in recent memory, if not of all time. Like... it's so good.
Teen Wolf. Sleepy Hollow's back this week. I hope it's good.
Oh, I can't wait. Ichabod finally put some shampoo in his head.
He's got a new haircut.
And a new haircut.
I think him and Abby have the same hair. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Matching weed.
They're twinsies.
Hashtag Kahoot.
Oh, so good. All right, Brian, you can come out of hiding. Four.
Brian.
What?
Oh, sorry. I wasn't hearing anything. You got to give signs of life. Organic. All right, are you ready for? Now it's time for...
Tweet, tweet, motherfucker.
Cookie Monster. Okay. Okay, so our first question is from Kiefer. It's kind of a long-ish one, but it's got a simple concept. I'll try to read it without messing up. What are some of the different things that you guys are sick of hearing, not other guys, us guys, about, I messed it up by bantering with myself, that you guys are sick of hearing about constantly in a similar manner? Giving my own example, one of my favorite YouTubers has an annoying habit of shoehorning in Michael Bay transforming film bashing into every video he does that has some tedious link to the franchise. It gets pretty annoying and It gets pretty tiring when you can't even watch a review of a dumb Postman Pat transforming toy without hearing a joke about Michael Bay ruining it. Oh, so many things.
Literally, my entire life has led up to this moment.
Like, that is definitely one of them. There's a lot of people that will make jokes about that type of stuff with the Transformers movies that get me. I think one of my huge ones is the Star Wars prequel bashing. I hate that so much. Because I like the prequels. I think the original ones probably are better in some ways, but I think a lot of the complaints are just unfounded, and people will just find, like, pretty much any way to bash them.
I like Jar Jar Binks.
So do I. Boom. Hashtag closet Jar Jar fan.
Yeah! It's like Davis all over again.
Only Davis fans. God, there is just really so many things. I think with Toku, is like any excuse to bring up that Sentai's better. Like, it could be something as simple as just like a toy announcement for like, or a spotting of something of Bandai, or just like anything related, and someone will find some way to bring it around to why Sentai's better.
Or any reason to comment on why Megaforce and Super Megaforce are awful.
Oh my god.
Oh god, that's the worst.
We kind of talked about one in the pre-show, and it's the first one that comes to mind, and it's everybody who says, you know, oh, the Avengers need to come and help every time, you know, something bad happens in the Marvel universe. Like they're not busy doing other things, you know?
And even in the comics or TV series or any other medium they're a part of, they have their own stories.
Exactly.
There's not just one comic called The Avengers.
Yeah.
Because there's some people that might just want to read about Thor or Iron Man. I don't know if this is necessarily something people shoehorn in, but it's something I want to mention because it's something that really bugs me, which is CGI shaming.
Yes.
I hate that so much.
Oh my god.
Maybe in the year 2000 when it looked crappy all the time, but now it's so realistic you can have Arnold fighting himself and you can hardly tell the difference. And I hate that people are like, oh, you need to use practical effects. Fuck practical effects. This is the future. And, like, nowadays, unless it's super low budget, I see no reason to complain about, like, oh, it was all CGI. Well, fuck you. That's essentially all I'm hearing is, how dare we take advantage of modern technology? It's just like when old people complain that things are more convenient. When I was your age, when I got hurt in the field, I couldn't call for help. Oh, man, I would really miss that. I wouldn't want to be able to call for help. It's like, seriously, my parents or, like, my parents' friends will basically brag about the fact that if kids were kidnapped, no one could alert anyone quickly.
Yes.
They're like, you could go out and play for hours and no one would hear about a kidnapping. I'm like, yeah, because nobody could call it in. Like, nowadays, if somebody sees it, you call it in and it's on your Amber Alert within 5 seconds. Back then, you had to run home to a landline. It's like, why are you bragging? This is not something to brag about. But yeah, the CGI shaming it drives me crazy. Especially like with the new Star Wars movies, they're like, oh, but they didn't use too much CGI. I'm like, the CGI is even better than it was when they did the prequels.
Yep.
Like, people can do amazing things with CGI. It's the worst thing.
Similarly is sequel shaming.
Oh, it's the worst.
The fact that every sequel is supposed to be worse than the original film. A lot of the time, it's, you know, they're better.
Whenever I hear discussion of that, I always think of the classroom discussion about that from Scream 2.
I was literally going to mention Scream 2, and then I was going to bring up Scream 4, where they even perfected it even more.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those things, too, that is the worst. People are just the worst. People, no matter what it is, whether it's something that's quite a bit older or even like recent, they latch on to the first thing so hardcore.
Yes. And it's not even just Power Rangers. You know, we mention Mighty Morphin and stuff all the time, but I see people, you know, like Smosh and people on YouTube, like, oh, only the first, you know, generation of Pokemon is good because they were the first ones.
Only the first president was the best.
Like Washington or bust.
So good.
Nothing beats the OG. Even the other day, after I finished Vampire Diaries, I went to go watch the season 7 trailer now that I was done, and there's people who would be like, the first three seasons were the golden age. I'm like, oh my god. Season 6 was so amazing.
Yep. It was the sink. There's no other season that came to what season 6 did.
There's most shows are like that, though. Like,
yep.
Is there anyone that says that the original Bionicles are better than the newer ones?
I'm sure.
I love the newer ones. They're made so well, you know?
Like, I looked up the older ones, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Especially because I don't own anything anymore, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't either. I looked them up, and I'm like, God, these are basic, beyond basic. They didn't have hands.
I have idea where mine are. When the new ones came out, I was looking for my old ones, and I could not find them. And then a few months ago, I was looking for some stuff for my retro reviews, and I found the containers, like those little tubes. I'm like, oh, my God, I found them. They're empty.
I have no idea.
Like, everything – it's one of those classic cases of past me being like, I'm going to put this here so I remember where it goes. Then I forget.
Yep.
So
I know that one.
I have no idea where they are. Because I only really have the original ones and then some of the small – they have like the first small ones that released. And then I have a bunch of those McDonald's ones that like flung discs at you.
Oh, yeah. The Matoran.
Yeah. Torrance, isn't it? What about Matt Torrance?
He's in downturn.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. There's going to be Power Rangers in Power Rangers.
Bionicle really did. Like, the toys improved so much.
These new ones are amazing. Like,
I read the first, like, little book, for the new Bionicle, and Greg Farshtey needs to come back this second and work on that fucking universe. Oh my god, that man was a genius, you know? He was like the Stephen Moffat of Lego. He was so good.
Anything else? Have
any additional ones? People, and this works both ways. For me, mostly because of how much I like certain games. I absolutely hate Nintendo shaming.
Oh my god, I love Nintendo.
There's a lot of shaming going on in this episode. Or reverse shaming. I don't know.
Like,
a workshop.
There's so much against them, and I mean, I understand if you don't like Nintendo games, but there's so much, like, woe is me shit with Nintendo. Like, oh, they're struggling. Oh, the Wii U is a disaster. And it's just because it's not as good as the Wii was, it doesn't mean it's a disaster. The Wii was just abnormally popular. The Wii was, like, strangely popular. And, yeah, it failed to capture that, but I don't think that necessarily means that the Wii U is a corporate disaster or something. They just need to do better next time, but it's like, oh, you're playing Pokemon, you're a kid, or you're Mario's for losers, let's play Call of Duty, and fuck that shit.
See, I have like a reverse of that, where like I hate the super hardcore Nintendo fans that they write the entire other side off as just Call of Duty, and that's the only thing that PlayStation and or Xbox have to offer.
Yeah, that's why I said it works on both sides of the argument. Like, there's hardcore Nintendo people that are like, everything else is garbage. garbage. And I'm like, not really. I mean, Nintendo's my favorite. Nintendo will always be my favorite, and that will have the most franchises that I enjoy and like to play. If I had to pick one console to keep, like, forever, it would be Nintendo. But there's so many other games on the other consoles that I enjoy. Tomb Raider, Uncharted, Infamous, Halo.
Last of Us.
And, like, the kind of one-shots, like Last of Us, even though apparently it's getting a sequel, so I guess it's a series now. But games like that are all fantastic games. I mean, PS4 and Xbox aren't all Call of Duty and whatever the other one is.
Like, I think that's what bothers me, is that people only use that one game, too. Like, personally, I'm a fan of that franchise, but just to use that one game and to write off this whole huge other side, they're like ignorantly missing out on so much. Like, there's just so much more going on over on the other side.
Oh, and the other, like, side's all FPS. The only FPS I play is Halo. Like, I'm not huge. Like, yeah, I'm a really fucked up person, because I'll sit here and go, I'm not big on FPS, but then I just, like, play the shit out of Halo. It's gotta be a specific FPS for me. I don't like modern, realistic FPS. I like sci-fi sort of FPS games. So I'm strange like that. I'm contradicting myself sometimes, but it's a thing. Like, these systems aren't all, like, Nintendo's not all, like, kiddie shit, and the other side is not all FPS. Everything has everything, and there's a lot of good, like, cartoonish indie games that are on, like, Xbox and PS4 too, like Tembo the Badass Elephant. That's a great game made by Game Freak, and it's, like, cartoonish, and it looks kind of like a Flash game, and it's great, and I love it, and it's a badass elephant. But that's not the point. Basically, what I'm saying is everyone has everything, and everyone needs to shut up.
Basically, elephants.
Yeah.
Just one. Hashtag team teabag. One other thing I was thinking of in terms of, like, the bringing up thing, I think is kind of a huge thing that's brought up in almost everything now, is constantly being offended or finding sexism or racism where it doesn't even really exist. Like, I'm not saying that stuff doesn't exist today, but I'm saying, like, in situations where I honestly don't think the creator, anybody, was trying to do anything. And in particular with Power Rangers now, like, I hate when something as simple as, like, someone will find, like, a trick-or-treating bag and it'll have, like, the red and blue Rangers on it, and they're like, no girls, sexism. I'm like, god damn it, it's a fucking Halloween bag. Just settle down. Just let the kids get their goddamn candy.
Well, they can kiss my ass because I found one with all five on it.
Boom.
But I want Ivan. Where the fuck's Ivan, sexism?
Ageism.
Ageism.
Like, that's just so obnoxious. And it is definitely everywhere. I think I notice it more in this fandom than the other ones because I'm in the thick of it here. But, like, this nowadays, everyone's so easily offended. It's obnoxious. And, like, people can't say or do anything. Boom. Mic dropped.
Holiday, everything.
I don't even know what George is saying. He's being slowly smothered.
One more thing that I have to bring up that is, like, the mother of everything for me is when people pick on subtitled stuff versus dubbed stuff.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, my God. Because why would I want to read when I can just listen to something in my own language? You know? And I get people that'll, like, curse me out and scream in my face because of that.
Or, like, the soundtrack. Like, I strongly prefer Dragon Ball's soundtrack we got here, because the one there is so dated. It's like, burp, 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 like a bunch of horns honking at you. And I like ours so much better. And people are like, oh man, I can't believe they got rid of the amazing soundtrack. I was like, it's a bunch of trumpets. Like, we had such an epic score here. I think I also, like, sort of going off of that, I definitely understand some certain frustrations, like with the way TV Nihon or somebody would do something, but in the end, I get really annoyed at sub-complaining on that level, mainly because it's a free service.
Exactly. And
if you're watching some startup or, like, HK subs, I get it, but it's like, you could only have HK subs. Like, it's a free service. And Like, you can totally have preferences and be like, oh, I don't really like this. It's like they do those really funny, like, long explanations. But, like, at the end of the day, if I had a choice between only watching TV Neons who doesn't translate everything or nothing, I would watch the thing I could actually watch. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't have any choices. It's just if we were paying for it, I would also understand. But we're not paying for it. It's free service.
Like, the sub and dub debate is something that I think is really trivial.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, I mean, there's tons of different circumstances. I mean, there's situations where someone can't read quickly. And subtitles, sometimes you have to read pretty damn fucking quick.
It's hard to read, Buzz. I've tried it.
To pick up on things. And, like, for those people, they have to either keep pausing it or they just miss out on things to where a dub would be primal. I have no idea what the word I was trying to pick out there. Optimal is what I was. Went the different Optimus part. Prime. I did the different part of Optimus Primal.
That's great. Maximize.
That was a wow. That was a brain twist right there. But
now I really want to play the Beast Wars N64 game.
N64 one was really cool. The PlayStation one was garbage. Not the Transmetals one, the original one. But anyway, where was I going with that? Like, there's situations where dub is just preferable to a lot of people, and yeah. I don't. If people don't like dubs and they want things in their original language, that's perfectly fine. I don't see a reason on why anyone has to attack another person for what they prefer to enjoy their entertainment as. And that's what gets me the most.
Pretty much.
And there's... Bringing it back to, like, the whole point of Kiefer's entire question, like, there's people that will just go out of their way in any sort of, like, dubbed YouTube clip or anything like that, and just like, oh, subs are better, subs are supreme, this voice actor sucks balls. And, like, there's no reason for that at all.
And then there's times where, like, you fight inside whether you want to listen to either one because they're both so good.
Yeah, I don't care about subs or dubs. I will digest whatever you put on my plate.
Whatever's easier to buy or watch on Netflix or whatever, that's, you know, what I go for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've mentioned all the time that I'm usually dubbed with only a few cases, like 5Ds, where they cut out some episodes, and also I watched it with subs for so long, I got so used to everyone's voice personality.
Yeah.
Or like something like Danball, where they like completely cut it up. Like, yeah, you're fine to watch it that way, but if you're like if I hadn't watched it yet, I'd kind of want to see the complete story. So right. I'd probably go for the sub because it's not all chopped up, especially since I know what content it has. Got to see them robo snipers.
A kid I went to school with this week freaked out on me because I said that I was going to wait for the dub of Yo-Kai Watch.
And who's even going to watch it?
I don't know.
I don't think any groups are subbing Yo-Kai Watch.
Well, he's like fluent in Japanese and is like, well, you got to like know. And it's part of like it makes you feel like you're part of a cool club because you're watching Yo-Kai Watch. And
oh, my God.
Punch him in the face. Punch him in the fucking goddamn face. God, it's
the worst.
And the scrotum while you're at it. But that like is horseshit.
You know, like Free is another one where I've had so many people be like, how can you like listen to the dub? And I'm like, because it's hard to choose, and sometimes I want to listen to Usada Lettuce and sometimes I want to listen to Johnny Young fucking Bosch. Like
that's what he changed his name to after he didn't have to be as Asian.
Buy my album.
I watched a little bit of Fullmetal Alchemist in Japanese as it was airing, and then eventually I started watching the dub, and I just stuck with the dub.
Exactly, you know, whatever's easier. They did
good. A lot of dubs, in the past I can understand. In the past I can understand, like, the original Dragon Ball dubs were awful.
The ocean ones?
I think a couple of them that I'm referring to predate Ocean, even.
Oh.
But Ocean's wasn't awful. It wasn't as good as, like, the current Funimation ones, but Ocean's wasn't too bad. But, like, I think Cardcaptors had a similar thing to Danball, in that Cardcaptors got cut up a lot, and I mean, I had no idea when I was little. Yes. I was just watching Cardcaptors, and I was like, oh, this is cool. I had no idea, but...
Yeah, I had no idea until years later.
Yeah, in situations like those, if you know, like, I totally understand it. And like, dubs way back were not the best at all.
I'd still rather have a box set of Cardcaptors than Cardcaptor Sakura.
I haven't seen the original, so I haven't even watched anything Cardcaptors related in years, no idea.
It was like the show that blossomed my love of anime.
I don't think any Cardcaptors was bad from what I remember.
Yeah.
Whatever, but...
fuck whatever.
Now, nowadays, I don't think there's a substantial argument for dub versus sub. Just dubs are most of the time 9 out of 10, like, ball out of the park, great.
Yep.
So watch what you like, enjoy what you like, and I don't feel the need to put other people down for what they want,
exactly
how they want to watch their entertainment. Basically, that was a long conversation.
We sort of answered the question, also answered other questions about ourselves.
The him he was trying to be was the him he was all along.
Oh, that's so good. Still need a shirt of that.
I don't even know what I was trying to say.
Didn't even got that.
I was trying to make I Can Figget shirts for you guys for Christmas, and I was going to send them to you guys, but, like, the screen printing places around here are so much fucking money. Like, it's ridiculous. And then I'd have to explain to someone what that joke meant. And I just said, fuck it. I'm going to go online and try. And then I tried online. And then they would have to ship a box to me, like, and know that I had paid for, like, at least 12 shirts. And I'm like, who the hell am I going to give 12 shirts to? And, like, so Christmas is going some other direction.
Christmas is canceled. Keep it up and you'll lose New Year's. Don't we have another question? One more?
Oh, shit.
Get to go.
Yeah. Chenix asked, what's your favorite death in all of television? And what's a TV death that you hated so – of a character you hated so much that you loved it?
Is it two separate questions now?
Yeah, it's like two little separate questions.
It's like a TV death that was like, oh man, that was really sad or really well done. And then, like,
yeah, and then one that, like, you waited for so long that you got it and you, like, had an orgasm.
Damn. Like, so I got one for the second one, but the first one, like, I feel like I should have put more thought into it.
The first one, definitely Tara from Buffy.
Oh yeah, that was a hard one.
Allison Argent is probably the best handled death I've ever seen in television. Her death was so well done. And I cry every time they even mention her name. Buffy's freaking mom, like, she had a good death, but
even though she was the worst.
And I hated Joyce so fucking much.
It's such a raw episode. I don't think I'll ever be able to watch it again. Like, whenever I rewatch it, I just skip it.
It's like, I can't, I physically become numb. It was so hard to watch it in my rewatch. I'm trying to think of any other big ones.
Big one? Himself, he died. No, he didn't. in terms of, like, a death that... I can answer this one, I'm trying to think of the other one, but, like, a death that I was so satisfied with him finally dying. It's a pretty common answer, but Joffrey on Game of Thrones, when he died, Fuck yes, seriously, he's the worst ever of all time. But yeah, that's pretty common, but still.
Shane on The Walking Dead.
I mean, McDreamy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, McDreamy's was hard.
Like,
you know what I mean. That was a hard death. That and I don't know if it's like one of the, but just the whole situation behind Lexi and then Mark dying in that show. The plane crash was a super emotional one.
Definitely. I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. Like, I'm trying to think of others. Caroline's mom in The Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, that was...
That was
a well-done storyline. Like, with the whole bike riding thing, was like...
Yeah.
Shit. Brian, you want to chime in here?
What? No.
I just want to type all day.
I legitimately got nothing. If I thought about it long enough, I'd probably pick something, but off the top of my head, I can't think of jack shit.
Shane's was a good one for like a satisfying death. Like, he needed to go. There's going to be a couple like that in that series as you get along. Oh, wait, I was just thinking of one. Hold on.
Another really sad one. I know neither of you have ever seen Misfits, but there's a character named Alicia, and her death is like mind breaking. It's so sad. It was done so well. That's such a good damn show.
I'm just like running through all the shows I've watched, trying to think of stuff.
Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie was... That's still uncalled for.
That's the most, like, unsatisfying death ever. It was so horribly done. It shouldn't have been done.
Catherine, because she was way more interesting than Elena.
Trip on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah, I felt bad that I forgot about him later because so much had happened, but I really liked Trip, and his death was pretty sudden.
And then, kind of, like, a death that I kind of, like, of a character I hated for a while, and I was satisfied with their death, but because of the shock of it, was Moira Queen.
Oh, yeah.
It was so sudden, and I didn't expect it at all. And I think that was done so well.
That was a pretty brutal one, too.
Yeah, like, just, oh, that sword.
It's not quite Joy Summers' levels was, like, it was too realistic. Like, you could imagine it happening to you, which is what's scary.
Way, way too realistic. The mom... from How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, I was like, the mom. Like, is that a villain?
I always refer to her as the mom. Probably one of the worst deaths is Cordelia.
A little Sebastian. That's gotta top all the lists.
And then another one for something you guys haven't seen is American Horror Story. In the first season, there's a character named Addie, and she has Down syndrome, and she wants nothing more in her life than to feel pretty. And she's dressed as like a Barbie doll on Halloween, and she gets hit by a car. Jesus. And that episode will forever be in my head. And like, oh my God, I'm going to tear up now.
This isn't in TV show death, but the guy that played Andy Hatlett, who played Lauren, he died so young.
I know.
That makes me sad.
Me too.
But yeah, Jordan knows a lot more deaths off the top of his head than we do. But there's definitely been some ones. Like, I could immediately think of the most hated one first, but
Ty's
death is pretty satisfying. Damon chopped his head off with his hand. Karate chop. Boom. Don't go near Bon Bon.
I can't think of one like that. That like I wanted a character to die so bad because they never die. Mitchie didn't die.
Mitchie.
God, I'm getting tired. I don't know. I can't really think of one.
On that note of death, Brian's clapping. Oh gosh!
What did you knock over? Blade just fell over.
Oh man!
Damn it! Whatever your name is, Kenzaki.
Kenzaki Kazuma.
Yeah, that. You're lucky I remembered Kenzaki.
All right, I guess now that we've talked about death, way to end the show, Kleenex. Now it's time for
Final Things MP3. Woo.
Final Things!
I have a thingy, and it's not final.
Oh god, we're speaking of the show. Ask more Twitchy motherfucker questions, and
bye.
I didn't have to interrupt that one.
Uncle Grandpa!
It just kind of died out.
Good morning!
Oh, podcast not hosted by Uncle Grandpa.
This episode isn't canon. Clicked. Didn't even have a diggle.
Right, hello, diggle. Welcome to RC.
Suck it!
That thing that David Wallace made? Classic David Wallace.
Hello?
Hello?
I hear George. Where did Brian go?
I don't know where Brian went. And Dawson. The hell?
Am I being punked? Is Ashton Kutcher here?
I don't know what's happening.
I don't. Was that cat? Oh my god! My nipples!
Go aside. Hama's in here.
Close my door.
Hama's in here.
That's fine.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Hama!
What is happening?
Okay, now Brian! Close my door.
Why you don't want to be invaded and intruded upon?
Not particularly.
Not with our little ark of animals?
No, that's why I wear special underwear, so I don't get intruded and invaded upon.
Okay, crisis averted.
What the fuck just happened?
Animals stormed into my room.
Oh my god, like all first of awesome.
Them. I don't know, did it's they, like I went to go pee or something.
Did they trampled awesome?
Probably.
To death? Because I'm fine with that.
So anyway.
But yeah,